want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Wildcard caller in New York, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question along similar lines as the previous caller. I think it's a little bit of an arrogant presumption on your part. When it comes to the relationship between quantum mechanics and the theories behind ass play, and for you to just say that the only intelligent life is on this planet, or that there is in fact intelligent life on this planet, proves that you have not paid close attention to the callers of the Don and Mike show. And my question is, where's your crop detector now? See?
Right. Yes, every once in a while we'll get one of those that come through.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
The rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Coming!
Yes?
How are you doing?
Tidying things up a bit. Just move the furniture around a little. I can move it all back.
No. Don't you dare. I love this.
You?
What you do? I mean, the room, it just seems, I don't know, so much bigger.
The Chinese call it feng shui. Huh? The placement of objects in a room to maximize your harmony and power.
Well, since my divorce, my dick could use a little feng shui.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Why don't you pick a category?
I've got to ask you about the penis mightier.
What? No. That's the pen is mightier.
Gussy it up however you want, Trebek. What matters is, does it work? Will it really mighty my penis, man?
It's not a product, Mr. Connery.
Yes, I've ordered devices like that before. Wasted a pretty penny. I don't mind telling you. And if the penis mightier really works, I'll order a Dutchman.
It's not a penis mightier, Mr. Connery.
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
This is Sabian here.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you. Where the hell is this piece of shit?
I knew it could be good, and it was great for Jerry, because, and you got to understand, I'm not schizophrenic, but when I write, I'm writing to him, and I know him better than anybody.
You got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
Quick plug, all right, Mike LaFontaine, owner and founder of High Class Management. Whoops! Comic's constant companion. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I start on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon! And, I can't do my work! And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
Yes, for Sabian.
I'm over here now.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this.
Step into my office.
What?
Because you're freaking fired.
So find Sabian.
I'm over here now.
Now get me Sabian!
Donovan back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Archer. The pass is there, and he drops the ball. And the Eagles defeat.
finally in sight. The haircut and take it back. You wouldn't get hassled so much.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea. Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe. Joe, Joe, Joe.
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes, you die.
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
I don't want to talk to anyone else but Sabian.
Oh, silly dilly dokey, yo. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's true.
This is Sabian here.
I'm over here now. I'm over here now.
Of course, you know, I got a tape here. And I'm not going to get mad because I'm going to assume that when Donald Rumsfeld was here yesterday, he cycled through our tape. I'm sure he went through all our good stuff.
And left some of them uncarded. I need one more, Robbie.
Hold on, you got one more? You already putting them away?
Don't blame me. Blame Rummy.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. What you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Actually, pointless to open the door. We've already started to spit. Oh, who's to let these guys in?
No.
Just once, I thought with everything going on, they'd stay outside.
How'd you like the show yesterday, huh, boy?
Based on a true story. He's a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob, be wet!
I'll tell you one good thing about those guys, though.
What?
Never once the making a brother.
Oh, yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Who's your daddy? Do you like your hair pulled? Lick the bees and all the ships at sea. Hey, it was never proved that they watered down the liquor. Bingo, baby!
Wow.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. Hi, Don and Mike, your new episode of this Friday. Metallica 30 year.
Right.
Phone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Canada. Yeah. 800-636-1067. And DC 202-432-1067.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
And look at this. I got no cheat ending today.
All right.
Gonna time this thing out naturally. And
shut up!
There you go. Then you got right here.
Is anyone missing?
Hey, what happened?
Someone called for a doctor.
Oh, wow. Listen to that.
Pretty cool.
Listen how you pulled it back.
There you go. I made
you
it
pulled
happen.
Out of your spin.
Made it happen. All of that because there was one tape that was uncued.
Mm.
This one right here, I'm guessing. Let me. Mmm. The smells of Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Rummy.
I thought so.
Mmm. And, you know, we were going to do the show today like Donald Rumsfeld, meaning we were going to be 10 minutes late. And we were not going to be on time for the first segment, but we decided. No, we got an audience to rebuild today.
Oh, do we ever.
And there are many words that I was thinking yesterday. Most of them I can't say on the radio. As I listened at 4 o'clock, sitting at home, driving my family crazy, wanting to be here to do a show for you. And if not, for you in D.C. to do a show on the network. But for whatever reason yesterday, we were handcuffed. The company was afraid of what we would say. And I can say it now. It has nothing to do with not being a proud American.
No.
It has nothing to do with not believing in our country,
not
supporting our troops, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
That show that they preempted us for yesterday blew dead bare.
Amen.
We could have seriously signed off, run what's known in the business as carrier tone,
mm-hmm.
and people would not have been as affected as they were by this piece of crap propaganda show that Infinity Broadcasting insisted on running yesterday instead of our show.
I was not allowed. I was driving in my friend's car and turned it on, and he would not allow me to listen to it. It was simply too boring.
Now, there are many cowards that work in management at this company who I will not name, and really I won't, but I'll tell you that one of them said to me in private yesterday, it was an embarrassment. One of them said to me, it was, and I have them all in email,
mm-hmm.
That it was awful,
mm-hmm.
it was horrific,
embarrassing, disgusting,
rude,
stunk.
It did absolutely just stink on ice. And there was a part of me when I was listening at 4 o'clock yesterday, when, you know, we should have been here doing our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it on and I heard that Tool Steve Croft, who incidentally, you know, I guess just because all the rest of them are casket ready, is the younger, more vibrant.
He's the vibrant guy.
Yeah. He's the youngest guy on 60 Minutes.
Well, you know, really, nobody ever pays attention to this. And nobody brings it up. But Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Wallace has done something. You want to talk about the real deal with the devil?
Yeah.
Mike Wallace is scary. What's he, 100?
At least. Disney animatronics.
Right.
And keep in mind that back in the day, Mike Wallace did ads on commercials, did commercials on TV, did ads for cigarettes.
Yeah. Right.
The guy smoked like 1,000 packs of cigarettes a day.
In those old newsroom days where he would just hoove away on smoke.
Has to be a deal.
So the deal is this. Yesterday sucked, and all I could say, and I don't like saying this. I think most people know that it's tough for me to say this, but there are three words that I'm going to say right now that I very rarely say. I was right.
Mm-hmm.
I was right.
You were indeed, and right. I although I listened to it for only a very brief period of time.
It sucked.
It was horrible.
It was just ridiculous. And why? They wouldn't put that on another POS station that's owned by Infinity Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The head muckety-muck, the guy, whoever, you know, there's so many presidents and vice presidents with this company. That guy came down to D.C. yesterday, I guess, to make sure that all went well, and it was nice to know that even with him there, that Rumsfeld couldn't show up on time. For those of you around the country who had to hear a best of today, what they did on WJFK was they took an hour out of the middle of the show to run a public affairs presentation with Donald Rumsfeld. And Donald Rumsfeld...
See, I turned it on at 4, and then I thought, oh, maybe I'm wrong, it's going to be on at 5.
Yeah. Now, he was 10 minutes late.
So he was supposed to be here at 4.
So when it started, you had the guy Steve Croft saying, welcome to Infinity... And what do they call it? It's Infinity... Action, Infinity...
That sounds right.
Action, whatever, they've got a name for it, you know, like saying Infinity is great, or it's Infinity Affirmative Action, whatever it is, it's something that Infinity is doing to try to be more than just the channel that gives you beaver shots and fart jokes.
Yeah, we're not going to just sit here and cash paychecks.
So, I hear this guy come on, I'm Steve Croft, I'm live at the Pentagon... We're awaiting the arrival of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. I'm Steve Croft.
It was really that awkward?
It's just after 4 o'clock on a rainy, rainy Thursday here in the nation's capital. I'm inside the Pentagon. It's an honor to be inside this building. Donald Rumsfeld will be here momentarily. Let's go to the phones now and find out... what you're planning on asking the Secretary of Defense.
Oh, dear.
And then, like, they go, let's go to Hoboken, New Jersey. And a guy calls, and it was just ridiculous. It was,
yeah, Steve, I just want to say that I'm a big supporter of the United States, and when Mr. Rumsfeld gets there, I'd like you to pass along that I'm really behind him, and I'm thinking he's doing a great job.
So this goes on for 10 minutes, and then they go to commercial.
Wow.
They go to commercial. And when they come back from the commercial, Rumsfeld is finally there.
There he is.
He's finally there, and the tone that I heard from Mr. Rumsfeld yesterday was disinterested, bored. I got the feeling as I was listening
maybe
to him...
Maybe he felt the way we did about that whole thing.
So.
That the answers to the questions that were asked... And again, I mean no slight towards Mr. Rumsfeld in this, but the answers were given were nothing. For instance, where is Saddam Hussein? That was one of the calls that got through.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Let's go to Torrance Beach, California. Here's Fred.
Yeah, you know, I want to say, Mr. Rumsfeld, God bless America, and you're the greatest, and I really am really happy with the job we've done over there, and we're doing a great job, and I think we're all wondering, where is Saddam Hussein?
And then... what Rumsfeld would say after about 30, 40, 50 seconds was basically, we don't know.
Don't know. Where don't is know. He?
Gone. Anyway, it sucked, and I was just so so pissed that yesterday, I'm trying to call all of these guys that run this station to say, you know, it's not too late. That I'm only 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mike's out doing something, but I bet if I called Mike, I'd be able to get him in within an hour. We could still come in. Well, as it turns out, I couldn't. Mike's shaking his head no. But
now, Don, I happened to make the most of yesterday, you see.
Oh, and we're going to get to that.
I was buying a boat.
Trust me, I'm ready for that.
Edgewater Center console.
But I was calling, trying to call, and just getting voicemail. And I know, and you know, here's how you...
I would have, you know, I had my phone with me. I was waiting up until 2 o'clock when I said, well, obviously nothing's going to happen now. I was waiting for the call because I knew you were very, very busy, you know, talking to the Muckety Mucks, and you had said to me that, you know, be ready.
Here's how you know. Let me show you, and everybody knows this when you call a cell phone. I'm going to call mine now. When a phone is turned off, it doesn't ring. It just goes right to voicemail. Now, well, there's a shot. Mine rang.
Well, the phone didn't ring. You heard a ring.
Okay, now, maybe, you know, maybe I left it on in the car.
Ah. Oh, my God. Well, no one answers.
Yeah, if someone answers, I'm in big trouble. But anyway, I would sit through these rings yesterday, which I interpreted as guys looking at the phone, seeing that it's me calling, and then turning...
All circuits to voicemail are currently busy.
Ah.
Please try again later.
Well, that's the reason.
Welcome to D.C.
Hold on. Because normally, let me just get through one time. I'm not going. Anyway, if someone really, truly has their phone turned off, generally the rule is, when you call, you immediately, you don't get a ring. You just get a click that says...
Welcome to where everyone is eating, driving, pooping, doing everything at the same time.
Right. Well, when I was calling the various people who wouldn't answer my frantic emails, the phone would ring 5, 6, 7 times. Oh. I must have left
the
phone on.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press 2 now.
I'll do it to myself.
At the tone, please record your voice message.
Okay.
When you are finished recording,
right,
you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hate that.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You are satisfied with your message. Press to send your message.
So tonight I'll go down to the car.
You'll be excited. You'll see a new shiny message, and it'll be you, and you'll be disappointed.
But obviously, I'll have the phone. Anyway, I got the feeling when a phone rings like 7 times, you know that it's some guy that's in a meeting somewhere. And as it turns out, they were in a meeting yesterday with the guy who put this whole Rumsfeld thing together.
Uh-huh.
And they as they're sitting around the table, I called each of the guys. And each of them, what I was picturing was they go, oh, excuse me, cell phone.
Look at your number.
They look at it and they go, oh, it's him. Just turn it off. And it would ring 7 times, which is the clear indication that they're there, but they just don't want to take the call.
But you're being blown off.
And I was leaving messages saying, it's not too late. It's 4:10 and Rummy's not there yet. It's not too late. Please, please let us come in. But... listen, that was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I hope our audience is still here today. And I don't know what we can possibly do to stop that from happening again. I don't know.
I don't either.
You
know, it's such a crucial time. And I just wish they had, you know, and even at another time it would be difficult. But the timing...
Well, how about this? How about 12 noon when we run the Bill O'Reilly fake news show?
Yeah.
You know, we already run 3 hours of that pablum every day.
It's more of a noon type thing.
Yeah.
You know, the drive home is festive. Right now, people are festive. They're planning their weekends. Mm-hmm. They're excited.
And I want you to know something else. It wasn't above me. I tried to call in.
You tried to call the Secretary of Defense?
Yeah. I tried to call. Now, I was told by someone here at the station that they were operating on a delay that was 4 times longer than our delay. And that they had all the call ID stuff that we have. But
right.
Still, I was going to call
them. But this caller ID would result in a couple of gentlemen with things in their ears coming to your house.
I wouldn't have said anything awful.
Say what you will about Donald Rumsfeld. You don't want to crank call the guy. You know what I mean?
Well, I I wouldn't have burped. I just wanted to call and really what I want.
You know how you like to threaten people with putting their numbers on the air?
Yeah.
I just get the impression he makes your vindictiveness look... like a toddler's.
Well, all I wanted to do was call and say, hey, I really support the United States of America, and I want anyone who possibly might still be listening to this to know that tomorrow the Don and Mike show will be back on its regular time slot. I sat there for about 30 minutes trying to dial, and I found it amazing that the number was busy, which meant either they had a limited amount of phone lines or someone must have been listening to that garbage yesterday.
Right.
So, anyway, sorry about that. It sucked. A couple of calls, and then we'll hear what Mike did yesterday.
Because
this is the difference between us.
Yeah.
And while I was sitting at home.
Well, here's the deal. I simply look at it at the point of you know where you said that's it. It's not going to happen.
I know.
I figured I was not happy about it either. But I might as well make the most of the day.
Right.
I don't get any days. You know, traffic around here to travel. Well, I'll explain later.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Can you hear? Yeah, I was listening to that thing yesterday. It was horrible. I totally agree. But around like 5:30, I guess they were playing a recording of you guys from maybe a year ago because you were talking, like a couple years ago because you were talking about like Clinton and his dog or something. But somebody called in and started playing like a recorder or a flute or something. You remember that?
No.
Is that the one where we go, he is very tired.
Like the rice patties.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, okay. I mean, that's a bit we used to do. Yeah. We do it whenever that guy calls. We still do it.
It's the guy with the, like the...
Don and Mike are disappointed.
Zanfir, whatever that guy is.
Yeah, the flute. Right. For a long time, they have been preempted.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike. Hey, buddies.
Hey.
Hey, I tried to do what you guys asked. I tried to listen. You asked for to try to listen.
In a self-public functions.
And
just... It seemed like any time he was asked a question, he would kind of, he wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah, I know.
He would never answer the question.
He's a politician.
I noticed that as well. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I don't want to sound like one of these kiss asses that called in yesterday, but it made me appreciate that you guys are professional radio broadcasters. Every, like, question, every time they were talking to each other, there were these humongous pauses. It was painful to listen to.
Yeah, I really think you bring up an interesting point that people that do this the way we do this, at a speed that we work at, even our callers move things along. Mm-hmm. There's no dead time. It's really very, very fast moving. That's what I like about the show.
You know,
I thought the same thing when I heard it. Pauses, the likes of which you would not believe.
Hello, and I got something about the callers to the show that I want to share with you in a second. Hi, Don and Mike Show, some research. Hello.
Yes, I would first of all like to thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, that was a big part, you know.
Yeah, please.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Yeah, there was a lot of that yesterday.
I hated it! Welcome back, Don and Mike!
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And I would urge everybody very strongly to call the people at Infinity Broadcasting today and let them know what a mistake they made yesterday.
Very good idea.
No reason to let them off the hook today.
No.
No reason to let them off the hook. We're so jammed up with stuff today, we got to keep to a real schedule. Before Mike gets to his boat talk, and I do want to hear about this, because it'll be another one of those things we put in the time capsule for when he either wrecks the boat or decides to sell the boat.
Right.
What do you mean wrecks the boat? Well, you know, when you run into a sand drift or when you capsize it.
I'm not going to say no, because if I do, something will happen.
They do all kinds of research here, and most of the research, I think, is generally pretty useless. But, Mike, you mentioned the amount of phone calls that we take.
Right.
And do you know that one of the new things they've started doing on our show is they've actually counted the number of telephone calls that we take on the air every month, and they're now breaking it down demographically by cities.
How do they do that?
Well, we have
somebody have to log it?
Well, no, with all this new...
Just the software does it?
This new software, with the new computer stuff, that doesn't work for anything else, works for this. For instance, in the month of April, the city that called us the most, these are on-air calls actually got through, 1,824 calls. And we did like, I don't know, like 24 shows, less than that, 23 shows in the month of April. That city was Washington, D.C.
That doesn't surprise me.
Sure. So the total percentage of calls taken in the month of April on this show was 24.5% from D.C.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the second biggest market was as far as number of calls. They called, we got 1,328 calls from this city in the month
I'm
of
gonna
April.
I'm going to say Philadelphia.
Robbie.
I'm going to guess it's a city that has its own dance.
Buzz.
That would have been my guess, Sacramento.
Mike is the winner.
Wow. Yep.
Philly is number two.
Congratulations.
So, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Now.
Wish it meant something.
Number three.
Maybe it will.
Number three. With 963 calls.
That would be the city with its own dance.
Yeah. Let me just say it's very close between number three and number four. Number three has 963 calls, and number four has 863 calls.
I would say, is one of the two Seattle?
Make a guess, please.
Well, I'm going to say it's either Sacramento or Seattle.
Pick one.
I'm going to say Sacramento and then Seattle. Sacramento's got to be next.
You guys are right about that. Sacramento's next. But in fourth place,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore.
I forgot Baltimore, of course. Baltimore. Yes,
Baltimore. And are you ready for a shock from city number five?
Yeah, I am ready. Well, what is it?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice. It is a lot
you're wearing that shirt today.
Listen, I finally got...
You got his Packers shirt.
I had to back order this for a year,
mm-hmm.
my Packers Hawaiian shirt.
It's a good shirt. I like it.
Which finally arrived.
Very nice.
Anyway, every month we'll be able to tell you exactly what city has been calling and all that stuff.
Your shirt has your Packer grill on it.
That shirt is busier than the Beltway on Friday.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I want to talk about that Rumsfeld thing again, man. I watched him like 2 weeks ago when he was talking about journalism. And here's his bald spot was a little bit bigger.
Mike, before your boat, one more call. It has nothing to do with Rumsfeld, but I see Joe put it up on the screen. It might be interesting, and it goes back to an earlier show this week. It says, Don and Mike mentioned an Ocean City newspaper with Stallion.
Okay.
Hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, boys.
Howdy.
I wanted to read you something that I thought would give you a giggle.
Okay.
It's in the Dispatch, Ocean City Dispatch from today.
Oh, they come out on Friday. I'm well aware of that.
It says, there was a lot of talk this week about the Stallion Sports Show, a featured attraction of Comcast Resort Video Guide on Channel 12. On national radio this week, the show was absolutely roasted for hours over 2 days by the Dynamike radio show. We understand one of the radio show's hosts has a home in a local area. It seems he watched the Stallion show and was absolutely appalled that it would be put on the air at all. The radio show's host went back and forth for hours blasting the show, particularly its namesake, but it was Don, who has the home in the area, that went on and on over his disgust for the show.
Wow.
Well, wait a minute, you haven't heard the best part.
A loving disgust,
yes.
Well, apparently there's a local group called the Common Cause Coalition that agrees with you. They went in front of the city council last week and said they wanted Ocean City to stop spending the $20,000 a year that it currently spends to fund the show.
Oh, dear.
Because Ocean City is supposed to be an all-American city, and they don't like the fact that it's supporting a show that's about sports betting.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
All right, so you might have started the beginning of the end for old Barry.
Oh, no.
I
you want to go on that show.
I hope not. Thank you, honey.
Have a good weekend.
Right.
Bye.
This is strictly an entertainment program.
Later. Always a controversy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Bingo!
Hello, Bingo. Baby.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Okay.
Awesome. I'm from Wisconsin. You guys ever been to a Packer game in Lambeau?
I've been to many, my friend.
I've been to one.
In Lambeau?
Buzz, you were not in Lambeau. You were in Milwaukee County Stadium.
Oh, is that where we were?
Oh,
that's
Buzz,
where we were.
You're missing out, Buzz.
Sorry.
You gotta get
someday.
To
all right, my
friend. Someday. You have a party like you partied in Lambeau.
Good showing for Green
Bay. Lambeau. That's foreign. Lambeau.
While we were all off doing whatever it is we were doing yesterday, Mike went and bought, is this your third?
My third.
The third, but
not like I have three. It's
no, you've bought one.
I bought and sold, and now I bought another one.
So.
And they've gotten progressively smaller.
Tell me about this one.
You mean my Edgewater Center console with the Yamaha 200 horsepower engine that I got? I love it. I know it's small, but I love it. It's great. I went all day yesterday because I knew we didn't have anything better to do, so I took a couple of buddies, and we went down to Annapolis and around the whole area, and this boat dealership's in Pasadena, and the one that I settled on went to three different dealerships looking for these boats and having a grand old time until, of course, it started raining again, which made me
a
little...
Beautiful today, though. It's
gorgeous today.
Beautiful today. I would have lost that bet with you today if you had gone double or up, double or nothing on Annika, because I was...
Yep.
I would have bet you it was going to rain today.
I called it in my forecast in a word the day before, remember? I said rain.
You know, you
That's right. So you were wrong.
No, I was right. It rained most of the day yesterday.
No, we asked Buzz for Thursday.
Oh, for Thursday. Yeah. What's it going to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow, rain. More rain again.
Now, Buzz, as you guys know, you're all coming over to our house on Sunday for Bart's graduation party. What is your one-word forecast for Sunday?
Windy.
Will there be rain?
Oh, okay. If you want sunny versus rainy, I'll say sunny.
Sunny, okay.
All right, very good.
So, Mike, you buy a boat.
So it's the last place I'm going to check out, and it's this place that's kind of off the... It's not off the beaten path, but it's a new boat company, and they've only been... And, you know, boat company's been out for millions of years, and this one's only been out for 10 years. So I see this guy, and he comes out, and he says, Mike, Don and Mike? And I suddenly get all excited, you know? Somehow makes those transactions a little better. And we settled on it, and it's going to have a trailer, and it's going to have a little sun thing on it, you know, to keep in the shade. It's not anything fancy. It's just a boat with a steering wheel in the middle, and it's fantastic. And I'm very... And you're all invited to come on it.
Well... I think, you know, and I don't want
to... I had a big boat like that had the thing where you walk down inside and you could... Two people could sleep on it. And then I had one that was just kind of a family cruiser thing, and now I've got one that's... Well, it's got seats on it, but that's about it.
Yeah, but it ain't cheap, though. I mean...
No, it's not cheap at all. But well-made. It's very, very well-made, and, you know, I recommend them highly.
So today...
The Edgewater Center Council boat.
We're
there. My job is done.
Oh, was that the plug?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, I bought it. It was between that and a Boston Whaler, and I bought this one, and, you know, and it was... You know, I was really, really happy with the way I was treated.
Here is the deal that we're going to get going right now in the office. Mm-hmm. Buy your squares today. Mm-hmm. Will Mike still have this boat by Labor Day? Will Mike still have this boat by Labor Day? About 90
Can
days.
Can I get in on this?
Well, yeah, but see, no, you can't because you would be able to ensure the fact that even if you hated the boat...
Okay, I won't say anything to affect the wagering, but I guarantee it.
You what?
I guarantee it.
You guarantee it?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm going to buy a lot of squares, though. I'm buying a lot of squares.
Before Labor Day.
Well, see, here's the deal. Aren't you going to take that up to Maine with your girls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where I predict you'll begin to hate it.
When I trail it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know me well. That's not a bad...
And I'm not...
Bet. It's a bad bet. I'm going to keep it because I want to use it here, too. You know,
I'm not busting your balls.
But you're funny because, you know, that would be the one, and now I'm sure we're going to get the phone calls. Well, I trailed it. It flip over. But, I mean, I really... that's the part that I have been... warned about.
Congratulations on
but
the...
But that's why I got a small one, too, that's easy to trail. And
SS Minnow the Third.
Banshee 2.
Banshee 2.
Banshee 2. You know, the Irish wailing ghost.
Yeah, I know. I'm very familiar
with
that.
My father had a tiny little boat that he named the Banshee, and I'm calling this the Banshee 2. Gotcha. I will not be putting a name on it. That would be a little silly for a boat that... for, you know, those boats that have names on them.
Oh, don't you want to just put on there... Mike O'Mara.
No,
on the back of the boat.
I wouldn't be able to. There's no room. It would have to be
Mike O'Mara.
Oh, congratulations on your latest frivolous purchase.
Thank you.
And we wish you nothing but the best. And I hope before you do either.
All I wanted to do all day yesterday was take Donald Rumsfeld out on it.
I hope before you wreck it, trade it in, or become bored with it. That you take all of us out one day. Yes, Joe.
And Joe, the answer?
Joe.
And I know what Joe's going to ask. I hope he's going to ask me. The answer is, again, we will.
Perhaps we'll have another fishing trip.
And you know what? Better boat for it.
Excellent.
Yeah, we will definitely have a fishing trip.
Very good.
Yeah, Joe, you will be my first guest, and we will go fishing together on that.
Amen.
We'll go catfishing.
Yeah, let's go catfishing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
hello.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, congratulations, Mike.
Yeah.
Catfishing.
I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, quick tip. If you want to call somebody without them knowing it's you calling, dial *67, it blocks your caller ID.
Okay, quick tip. That doesn't work on our phone system. If you do call 67, you're not going to be able to call.
So when you're calling from your cell phone to another cell phone, you can't block your caller ID?
If you're calling our radio show.
No. So what I'm talking about, when you were calling your bosses yesterday and they were ignoring your phone calls.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got what you're saying. I got you.
Then they wouldn't have done it with you.
Can you do that also on a cell phone?
Yes, you can. Sure. And I'll tell you how we know you can. My son lost his cell phone yesterday again. And when we were trying to find it, we were calling it. Here's. Okay. Now, I'm busting your balls about the boat and how I think you're going to, you know, somehow muck it up.
Right.
Here was my great idea with my son yesterday in the pouring rain in front of the Blockbuster where he thinks he lost his phone. I said, here's what we'll do. We'll get my phone and we'll dial your number and we'll just walk around the parking lot and see if we hear the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So for about 40 minutes yesterday, oh, I know, we got a break, Charlie. About 40 minutes yesterday, my wife was waiting at home while my son and I were walking around in the pouring rain mm-hmm. in a Blockbuster parking lot, and I'm on the phone, and we're just waiting to hear the ring of his phone, which, of course, somebody had absconded with. I mean, you see a phone, you're going to take it. But anyway, when I was calling it, that's what Bart said to me, Dad, don't call with your regular number. Put star 67. So whoever has my phone won't be hip to the fact that it's you calling.
Okay. Unbelievable.
That's why kids are smart.
Yeah. That's a good move.
What did we do before the internet and cell phones?
I don't know. I think I was happier before the internet and cell phones. I really think so.
I don't know. I mean, they affect cell phones, I think, have done more damage than the internet. The internet is, you can't argue with how incredibly helpful it is for consumerism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, cell
phones. So are cell phones, though.
Cell phones are just one big pain in the ass.
So if you want to, you can turn it off.
But, yeah, but I mean, you know what I hate? Right. Like, I'll give you a classic example.
Okay.
This guy today that weaved into my lane as I'm driving in, and then weaved back over, and then was going slow, erratic, and I'm like, what is the deal? Is he drunk in the mid-morning hours of a Friday? And I look over. No, he's on his cell phone.
Yep.
And there are people that don't have the motor skills.
Unless they'd be able to operate a motor vehicle
and speak on a phone at the same time.
Here's the thing, though. Before cell phones, there was people eating in their cars and people putting cassettes
on them. I have seen people eating and on their cell phones in cars.
True.
Anyway.
And I'm good at it.
Hey, we have to break because today's show is absolutely jam-packed. Just let me let the air out of one guy's balloon real fast. Yeah, hey, we got a Mr. Know-It-All here. David.
Hey, I star 67 and it got through. I guess that's what Joe said.
Would you like me to give out your number on the air?
No, I'm at work.
Okay.
But, no, I was just curious.
I have the number. Don't listen to Joe. I've got the number on the screen.
You're hey, God.
916. Hello?
Right.
Ah.
He says right.
Now, Mr. Smart Guy's a little... He hesitated there for a second.
No, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
You right. heard us, uh-huh. Liar.
Call her 100 right now. See, and if I give out, like,
God, can I play? Smarmin, smarmin.
If I give out the first digit of the phone number, they're going to start
right.
deleting me out and all that other
exactly.
stuff. But
right.
anyway, it's a nice...
You gave an area code. What did you do?
Call 100 right now, 877-365-3636 for the secret sound. Listen how today's show is jammed up. We got Patton Oswalt coming in.
Great.
And then we'll be taking an hour off today for Donald Rumsfeld.
Okay.
And we got Mr. Skin. We got Joe, who actually went to see a preview of a movie last night.
Very exciting.
Brand new feature on the show today, Joe's Movie Review.
Yay.
I think he saw The Italian Job.
Really?
With Marky Mark.
Fantastic.
So Joe will give us his review on that. Skin, Patton, a trip somewhere in America, Jeopardy. We're jam-packed.
Wow.
Just imagine we couldn't do any of this, that dumbass Donald Rumsfeld was on again today. Oh! Oh!
Hey, but the shirt looks good.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And the boat's great.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
The Don and Mike Show. Their brains are 100% leak-proof. Guaranteed. Don and Mike.
We've got a call 100, and that's debatable. I mean, about our brains.
Okay.
Call 100. Where's the, there they are, Robbie. Get a Rumsfeld moved everything yesterday.
He wanted to go through the tape.
There they go. There's the touchdown for his peeps to. He's going to call number 100 here. Hi, Don Mike Show.
I'm caller 100.
Yeah, what's your name, my friend?
Jay.
Jay, where are you from?
Chevy, Maryland.
Jay, here you go. You got three Denzel Washington DVDs. Including Antoine Fisher.
Oh, yeah. Great.
That's from 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment.
Great.
And you have tickets to one of the D.C. area's largest events of the year, the FBR Capital Open, June 2 through 8, TPC at Avenue and Potomac Sports Your Hometown Tournament. Call 202-432-C. Boat Owner and Bachelor Mike O'Mara playing in the Pro-Am Tournament Wednesday, June 4.
Outstanding.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, the weather's going to be okay. You'll get a couple of rounds in.
Is it? I mean, I've heard conflicting reports, but you can't. Didn't Doug Hill say that you cannot go 7 days?
No.
It's like throwing it at a dartboard.
Right. So, whatever. You know, you're at the same handicap as everybody else. If everybody else hasn't been able to play in practice.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
You'll do okay.
It's amazing, though. I mean, to the weather we've had and the shape the golf courses are in, it's incredible.
My friend, are you ready to go for $1,000?
I am.
Or you know what?
What?
That jackpot is getting cut in half.
Yeah. Oh,
because I'm going to give you a clue.
Ooh.
Now, Rob, I'm going to run this by you.
All right.
I have three possible clues. Which one? All of them applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you like best?
I like the first one best.
Okay. Here's your clue. Kids. Kids. Offspring. Varmints. Rugrats.
Okay.
Kids. We'll play you the sound now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Arrested Development.
Oh, good. What was that song? Well, I guess we'll find out. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There. There's the sound. What is it, something like Louisiana or... Jesus, what was that Arrested Development song? Like, when they were popular for about 5 minutes.
Mr. Wendell, a man, a human in flesh, but not by law. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
Yeah! That was the first one. What was the follow-up?
Was Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay, for $1,000.
Rated PG.
Disorderlies. Excuse me, for $500, what is that sound?
Is it the sound of a refrigerator door being opened?
There was a kid inside.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, my friend, no. The refrigerator door is one that people have guessed since
right.
We started that contest.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. And
thank you very much. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it.
Clue for you. Thank you. Hold on.
Thank you.
Hold on just a second, please. Let's go right to the inside line. It's Friday. It's Jim McBride Day. It's Mr. Skin Day. And unfortunately, we're running so low on time today. We got to compress Jim. And we want to thank him for joining us today because we weren't here yesterday. I'm going to tell you, Mike, I've previewed this. I want to tell all of our male listeners right now, you want to lock the door. You want to get a bottle of hand cream.
Oh!
And it is Teat Nirvana today. Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Website is www.mrskin.com. Jim, thanks for joining us a day late because of Rummy.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Let's start.
Yeah, no problem. Let's start with theaters real quick. There's the big movie opening today is The Italian Job, which stars Mark Wahlberg and Ed Norton.
Getting great reviews.
And more importantly, Charlize Theron.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Is she?
Now, it's PG-13, so don't get too excited. You do see her in bra and panties, but the key is she's not naked in this, but if you do want to see her naked, I recommend The Devil's Advocate, a movie she did a couple years back with Keanu Reeves.
That's great.
Full frontal nudity in a church, if you don't mind the
church
part.
And the thing is, you got to watch it more than once because the first time she's got like cut marks all over her, and you have to desensitize yourself to it. And once you've seen it a couple of times, then you can freeze frame it and just
Check her out.
And I know the other one, one of the other ones she's sort of naked in. Well, you see a great full length of her butt and the body, the Cider House Rules.
Yes, that's another good one.
Man, oh man.
Great game. She's been naked quite a bit, but just bra and panties in the Italian Job, but her in bra and panties is better than most babes naked anyway.
That's for sure.
Another theater note, Prozac Nation. I've been waiting for this flick to hit theaters for about a year and a half, and the reason is in the first 15 minutes, the curvaceous Christina Ricci unveils her pre-breast reduction jumbo jacket. And, I'm a huge fan of hers, but the problem is this movie was supposed to be out two times in the last year and a half in the theaters, and right before it came out, it was delayed. Well, it was supposed to be out next week, and now Miramax has pushed it back again to the fall. So bad news on seeing Christina Ricci naked. We're going to have to wait a little while.
Well, getting past all of that.
Yes.
There is no doubt that if you do a search on MrSkin.com, one chick that comes up all the time is Alyssa Milano.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Alyssa Milano is one of those girls that has had her head put on fake bodies and has sued internet sites. Listen to me now, fellas. This is a boner alert. Jim's got the real things.
Jim, oh, yeah. Well, what I did this week is I gave you a couple movies. I went with kind of a best of. I didn't like what was out on DVD, so I thought this would be a good week to just tell you three picks, can't-go-wrong movie rental picks. And one of the ones I chose this week is a movie called Embrace of the Vampire. It's a 1994 movie. I consider it the Citizen Kane of celebrity nude movies.
Oh, yeah.
Alyssa Milano, she's, of course, played Tony Danza's daughter on Who's the Boss. When that show ended, she, like, disappeared for about a year and a half, came back all grown up, and did this movie, and you guys, I think, are looking at pictures from a scene with Charlotte Lewis where Charlotte is photographing Alyssa with her shirt open, and girl-on-girl action ensues. It's a great scene.
Go to the second page, Mike. Look at them.
Wow.
Look at them. Look at how they stand up on their own. Look at that. And really, I want to tell you something. Perfect areolas.
Yeah.
And unlike the girl in American Pie,
Shannon Elizabeth.
What I like about Alyssa Milano's are that they are that soft, pink girl color.
But I have a question, and I'm going to ask you this question. Is that a boob job?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I never knew that.
You know it's what? A good one, though.
It is one of the best boob jobs in the business. I'll give her that.
Wow.
And speaking of boobs.
Okay.
The other one, another movie I chose was, these are all favorites of mine, a movie called Full Body Massage, it's a 1995. It was actually made for Showtime. It was a made for Showtime flick.
Is that the one with Mimi Rogers?
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, I know that movie.
Are you
monsterly racked Mimi Rogers?
Are you all over Jugs this week?
Yeah, this is Jugs.
Take a look.
Jugs week, but
and Mimi's are real.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I had to go real and fake here, but probably the best. Here's the thing about Mimi Rogers. If you like them big,
yeah,
she's your gal. And I got to tell you that I've never seen in a movie, in the modern era. I mean, it did happen a lot in the 70s with the sexploitation movies. But in the modern era, to see a decent, relatively big star with that big of natural breasts, let them get massaged and squeezed for that long in an R-rated movie. It's a rarity. It's unbelievable.
Again, when you go to MrSkin.com, you type in the name Mimi Rogers, and the movie that will come up is Full Body Massage. And there is a guy, Brian Brown.
Yeah. The dude from FX and Cocktail is the lucky masseuse.
Oh, that's right. He's the guy that's Tom Cruise's friend in Cocktail.
Yeah, married to Rachel Ward.
He is standing behind Mimi Rogers, and he's giving her a check for breast cancer. And I mean to tell you, wow.
You know what? And as good as the pictures are, the video clips are just blow you away.
I agree. I bet the I've seen the movie, and the movie is awesome.
However, yeah. I've got to tell you, Jim, that Alyssa Milano's boobs, outstanding. Mimi Rogers got huge ones. I got a thing for Kelly Preston. And I've had a thing for Kelly Preston.
You and I share that. We don't share a lot of women, but I'll tell you right now, that sounded weird.
Yeah.
We do like the Kelly Preston.
If you watch Jerry Maguire, she's his girlfriend in the beginning when she's on top of Tom Cruise and she's eating the strawberries, and you don't really see her naked.
Right.
Nope.
Jim's got a movie here on his site in which you not only see And they are they real, her jugs?
These are real.
Not only that, you also see fur. Total,
<Travolta.
laughs> total frontal nudity. Jim, what is this movie, and when did she make it, and...
Well, here's the deal.
God.
The name of the movie, this was my final video recommendation for the weekend. It's a 1985 teen sex comedy called Mischief. Kelly Preston was like 20 years old in this movie. And it's based in the 1950s. And as far as all-time great nude scenes, this is definitely top 10 material. She is up in her bedroom in clear daylight. Very important, the quality of lighting in a scene. This is middle of the day. She seduces the class nerd up in her bedroom. She strips down for him while Buddy Holly music plays in the background. And she gets, not only do you see her breasts, but she gets completely naked. As she goes to get in bed, you can see fur.
Yeah. And look, you see the cut on that, Mike?
I know.
That's exactly the way I like it.
I think it's important to point out what year this movie is from, though. When you see that, that would be the 1985 hairstyle, wouldn't it, Mr. Stanton?
Oh, come on. I would hope that she has the same hairstyle today. Now, she's got, like, the big...
Your popular today hairstyle is no hairstyle.
Well, JonBenet, I'm not into that.
I'm not into that either.
But I like a nice triangular...
Yes, bush. I'm with you.
And she's got...
I'm retro all the way.
Oh, and Mike... Here, added bonus, I missed this. Here's Christina Ricci. Here's a picture of her.
Wow.
And her. You know, Jim, this week, I love you, man. You're all about boobs this week.
I request future best ofs, Mr. Skin. Absolutely.
At certain weeks, I'll throw in some best ofs because every week, you take three of the best, and you're always going to get great stuff.
That's good.
And the thing with Alyssa Milano is you hear so much about her, and you look at pictures of her, and you never know which ones are real and which ones are fake, and she's suing people all the time. And this is from, what's this movie again, Jim?
Embrace of the Vampire. The critics hated it, but of course I loved it.
There you go.
It's a straight-to-video movie. Never saw the light of day in theaters, but it's a classic. I think I've done more to promote this movie than any human being. One of my all-time favorites.
This is jackpot this week. This is you got Christina Ricci. You can see what's doing. She's got a see-through shirt. Then you got Alyssa Milano. And you go to the site, and you can actually see more than the still photos we're looking at. But, there's one close-up that's so perverted. It's just of her breast,
right,
with this other girl's hand in between.
Yeah, but I'll go with the Kelly Preston, absolutely.
And then you got Mimi Rogers getting a breast massage. And then Kelly Preston, front and back, every inch of her. Jim, an outstanding report. Yeah. You're a great American. Thank you for... I'm sorry we were so rushed this week.
Oh, no problem. Special Friday edition. No problem.
You got it. We'll see you next Thursday,
all right,
Jim.
Talk to you.
Jim's site is www.mrskin.com. He really delivered the goods this week.
Well, I like his little best of compilation.
Yeah,
so that's just fine with me.
You know, a lot of these girls, of course, you know, you like I said, Alyssa Milano, you wonder about her, you see her, well, now you get to really see her. Mimi Rogers, we all know that she has gigantic ones.
Right.
But,
And Kelly Preston?
That Kelly Preston.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and then that's just, you know.
Totally.
Just Mrs. Travolta.
100% naked. Okay, we got one more segment here to fit in. It's time for Jodan. Joe, if you'll come in for a second, and also if Bart's here, I want to get a report about the guy outside the station.
Yeah, what is that? What's that all about? I caught that guy out of the corner of my eye.
Here is Joe. Howdy, Joe.
Howdy,
Joe. Howdy, Joe. And
Joe and I are going fishing.
Hey, Barty, where are you, bud? You know, I'm
I don't know where he is.
I'm a very, very concerned father. There was some who knows what out in front of the radio station, some guy out there. So I sent my son out.
Check it out.
It's his last day of being here for senior project, so I said, go out and see what that guy's
doing. Deal with the mental patient.
Hey, all right, here he comes. Hurry up, bud. We got to fly today. Joe, incidentally, Joe's here for a brand new feature.
Yes.
The Joe movie review.
Where he actually went out and screened the movie
Joe.
For you.
Joe went to a screening last night of The Italian Job. Hey, Barty, come on in. Get over here on mic number three. What was the deal with that guy outside with the sign?
He just taped the sign to the tree and left.
Well, what did the sign, what does the sign say?
It was like, hey, Don and Mike, fellas, don't move me. Now let's get real, real gone this time.
Yeah, the Elvis quote.
So you found him to be not a menace to society?
No.
Harmless.
Yeah. All right, gotcha. Okay. Well, listen, and incidentally, this is Bart's last day of being here.
Yes.
He's done with the senior project, graduates next Friday, and I want to tell you now.
I don't. You have to answer your dad. I feel weird. I mean,
what?
He's looking at my pictures, and I don't know how you. You know, I mean,
here you go.
Just waiting for Daddy. There you go. You get your own.
He's 18. He can look at
well,
this.
I mean, I know the. I certainly know the curiosity level that's there.
I just want to tell you
curiosity.
Hey, son.
Yeah, he's a little distracted right now.
He's looking at the pictures of Mimi Rogers and... Mm-hmm. What, buddy?
I know none of these...
That's because you're a young man, unfortunately.
Kelly Preston is John Travolta's wife. She was Jerry Maguire's girlfriend in the beginning of Jerry Maguire.
The blonde.
But she looks not as good here.
Well, she's younger there. Anyway, listen, here's the thing. I told you this before the show. I'm going to say it to you now and embarrass you. I've loved having you here for the last 2 weeks. I've grown accustomed to coming to work and having you around. Well, never mind. You're just going to look at the
pictures. No.
A touching moment.
I was putting them down.
A tender moment right there.
Actually, Bart, you were not paying attention.
listen, Bud, you are the greatest son a man could ask to have, and I am going to miss having you around here at work.
Thank you, Don.
And I love you, and you're a great guy.
That's nice.
And don't forget that. I really am proud of you. Told you last night, we went to a function last night that Bart School put on,
uh-huh.
Where they had a video montage of the kids when they were like in third grade.
Right.
And you get to see, you know, little Bart number 29 come out in his little third grade football uniform. And then in some of the later shots, I figured out the way they had a lot of shots of the kids coming out of the classroom. And I was wondering, where's my kid in these home movies? Well, he was always, much like Dad, the first one out. what you had to do was watch very carefully to see the kid with the orange Clemson hat go
first
flying.
One out.
A lot of the guys are stopping to mug for the camera.
I like that.
My kid is just on his way out, just running out. So anyway, I really have enjoyed having you come to work for the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to miss you.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm going to miss you.
The whole family is here.
Now you got to get out of here.
I'm just looking at the time,
Charlie. I'm on. I got time for Joe.
Okay.
We work things. I'm fine. Everybody's here.
We're all in here now.
Yay. So anyway, Barney, love you, bud. Thanks for coming in. And dude, this was all part of a senior project.
That's terrific.
Now
Excellent. It's
time for At the Movies with Joe Artinger.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe.
What movie did you screen this week, Joe?
The Italian Job.
The Italian Job. All right, now here with his unbiased review of this movie starring Marky Mark and Charlize Theron, here is Joe Artinger. The bong is on.
The Italian Job is like a really great movie about this guy who gets some guys together to do this thing, and they pull this thing off, and then one of the guys goes bad, and he does this thing to them all, and he thinks they're all
gone. That's TPS. No tedious plot summaries here. What do you think of it?
We like your impressions of the movie. You saw
3.75 out of 5 stars.
Well, what do you like about it?
It's fast. It's a tight package. The characters
you never hear Roger Ebert say
Seth
that.
Seth Green is amazingly funny, as usual. Seth Green is very funny.
How is Marky Mark?
Marky Mark is a little too slick, and that's why I take away from the movie. You know how in Goodfellas you came out of theater and you wanted to be a mobster?
Yeah.
You don't come off wanting to be, you know, a gold thief. But you do want to drive through the Mazza Gallery underground parking at an amazingly brisk rate.
Now, one thing I heard about this was that there were no CGIs, that all these scenes with the Mini Coopers going like 100 miles an hour, those were all real. Did that translate?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Would you recommend this movie?
Absolutely.
As the Friday night date movie?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Joe movie review.
So you gave it 3.75 stars.
Yeah, out of 5.
You're keeping track. What he liked about it was the fact that it was a tight package. What he didn't like is that Marky Mark is a little too slick.
But Seth Green is funny.
Strong.
He's very funny. And just for everybody who's going to go see it tonight, you will enjoy when you see I Am the Real Napster, because that's very funny.
All right, there you go.
I enjoyed the excellent subtext.
Yeah, somebody wrong. Write that down for you. Did Rob, did you write it with Joe? Probably.
Probably.
All right, now, Joe, we got about a minute left. Now it's time for Joe's take on whatever else happened during his movie experience last night at his screening.
It was a promotion for Jammin' 99.5.
Okay.
And they are the hot hit station in D.C., for those of you who don't know. And there was a guy there who got on a little microphone. His name was Chris. And he was like, "All right, everybody here to see the Italian Job? Yeah! Going to do some trivia, just a few trivia questions, win some T-shirts. Yeah! From the Hot 99.5 Hotties. Yeah! Who all look like they're 13 and are kind of overweight simply. Yeah! Now, I've got some trivia." And at that point, I turned to my girlfriend and I said, "I got some trivia. Who's the biggest douchebag in the movie theater?" Yeah!
I like that joke.
Excellent.
Very nice. That's going to be a regular new feature as long as they give us screening.
Very good. Yeah, I guess thanks to Allied for the... I guess they're the company that does these things, and they really had a nice setup there. You know, it was a great theater. So.
All right. Did they treat you like you were somebody?
Yeah, because I am.
Yeah.
Joke.
Right answer, Joe.
Yeah, great seats. If you put an X right across the theater, we were smack dab in the middle.
Wow. There you go. Jordinger says the Italian Job, you'll like it.
3.75 out of 5 bongs.
Oh, Joe? Get a haircut, please.
No, Rob.
Don't do it, Joe.
All right, bye-bye. There he goes.
Joe Ardinger, ladies and gentlemen.
Joseph Ardinger. And the movie review. You know, that works out better for me than having you and I review the movies that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually go see them.
You know, we get these invitations, we get these things with movie studios, why not send our representative?
I think the first one out of the box, fantastic.
Joe Ardinger.
He's a natural. Mm-hmm.
Got a break, we'll be right back with Patton Oswalt, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, what happened?
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
They don't want to see no panties. Don and Mike.
Hey, Patton. I got to read some junk here. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good to see you again. Let me say, Tuesday we're giving away a Toshiba DVD player from the AFI American Film Institute, celebrating AFI's 100 years of heroes and villains, Tuesday, June 3rd on CBS, hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, sponsored by Pontiac and Best Buy. Thursday on the show is a trip to Los Angeles for two to attend a star-studded E! Hollywood party at Highlands Nightclub, August 23, all new, all true, all summer long, beginning in June. Look for E's all new summer lineup, including Nearly Famous 2 and Celebrities Uncensored. Two great shows from E! All summer long, and in a minute, we'll be giving away a $1,000 travel voucher to be used for any travel related services by Travel Focus.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
Let me also say, Patton Oswalt is here. Patton is at DC Improv.
Hi.
Tonight and tomorrow night, 8 and 10:30. For tickets, call 202-296-7008 or go to DCImprov.com.
Come see me, I curse.
Also, PattonOswalt.com. Patton brought here by Ambassador Limousine. AmbassadorLimo.com.
More plugs.
Yeah. 888-220-7232. And I'm done with the read.
Yeah.
I've seen Patton not once, but twice.
Now,
huh?
Here he is, everybody.
Hi.
Patton Oswalt, funny guy.
Uh-huh.
On the Leah Remini Show, King of Queens.
Leah Remini Show.
And I'm gonna come right out and hit you with it.
Go ahead, man.
I don't know if you think I don't read, but I do.
Uh-huh.
And I get the magazine that has 50 Cent on the cover.
Oh.
And there's a giant article about...
What is the magazine? What is the...
Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, okay.
This is going.
Yeah. Entertainment This Week. There's a giant article about, you know, crazy shock disc jockeys.
Oh, God.
Like the guys that did this... the Sex in the Church thing, and the guys in Detroit, and it's, I showed you the pictures a couple of days ago, like the disc jockeys where one of them is...
Yeah, you talked about this this article, and then Patton is quoted in. You
now,
about that the other
here's
day.
The thing. Patton's been on our show quite a few times. Actually, when you were growing up, you used to listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
Then, right?
So, totally.
You can understand that I was wondering... How you're going to get out of this...
Tell him the truth, you were furious.
Oh, really?
No, he wasn't.
No. But I'm just wondering how you're going to get out of this with us.
All right.
Because,
read the quote.
Okay, and I am. The paragraph starts, "The image of DJs as uncontrollable renegades is increasingly unrealistic in a time when radio is so rigidly controlled."
Mm-hmm. Christian rights advocate Patton Oswalt, no.
Can a DJ... really be breaking all the rules if you can't even play a song not selected in advance by the program director? Now, we don't find fault with that on the magazine's part. We even agree with that.
Yeah.
But here you go. Stand-up comedian Patton Oswalt, parentheses, the King of Queens, who has sat in with countless, and then quotation marks, wild DJs across the country to promote his gigs, sums them up thusly.
Oh.
They're rebel dupes.
Uh-huh.
It's TGI Friday's Rebellion.
Uh-huh.
It's all planned. We're going to kick ass between the hours of 5 and 9 within these restrictions. Please choose from the left side of the rebellion menu. All right, Patton.
So, is that what we are to you? Are we just a plate of S?
No. And by the way, I totally stand by that statement in that in morning, any kind of, like, especially like the morning drive time DJs, that over-loud, over-energetic, you know, it's the Friday morning, I hate my boss donut toss, where you come on out of the stage and we'll be throwing crawlers off the roof. You bring a bucket and trying to catch them. You guys hate radio more than I do. In fact, yep. I remember growing up, you guys used to read, there was some kind of catalog where they would, like rattle off the different features that different, like, morning teams would do, and you would be pointing out how awful it was.
That would be when you read out of R&R.
Yeah.
You've
got that sitting there like another one there.
You still do it, yeah.
Exactly. You guys never, like, you're the only guys that I know of that never tried to portray yourselves as wild, dangerous guys. So everyone else...
Then here's the question, a very simple question. How come it doesn't say, they're rebel dudes, it's CGA Fridays, it's all planned, blah, 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 except for my friend Scott.
Yeah, because I talked to the writer for like an hour, this guy Josh Wolk, who's a very good writer, and you never know how they're going to edit their stuff. And also, I just wasn't really thinking in specifics. I was speaking in very general terms, which I still stand by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that I didn't give you guys an asterisk, like, no, listen, by the way, Dynamite are cool.
I'm busting your balls. The thing that I wondered was, in the recesses of your mind, are perhaps we lumped in with them? When you're going to come to D.C. and you go, oh... Christ, they think I'm friends with them.
No.
I got to go on their show, and...
This is the one show that I called you guys. The club doesn't call you guys. I called to do you guys a show. Any other show that I do when I'm on the road, and I don't understand the logic behind making a comedian get up at 6 a.m. when he's been up till 3 a.m. to entertain people who then aren't going to go see his show because I go on too late.
Right.
It's just this weird, like, well, we have a lot of, you know, we do a lot of work with this radio station with KTRT, The Turtle, so you got to go in and, you know, deal with Jack Keys or Gymnasium or whatever. Like, all across the country, whenever I'm traveling, I just canceled a gig in Austin because the club owner wanted me to do a three-hour radio show on a Friday morning, and then two shows after that. So basically, I'd be working all day up until I did my show. Like, I'd be working from 7 a.m. until 1 a.m.
And you are a creature of the night.
I am.
You,
I don't wake up in the morning.
You go see your show, and you know that you are a creature of the night.
Also, I got into comedy so that, A, I don't got to get up early in the morning, and B, I don't got to hang out with unfunny people. And when I go to a morning radio show, I'm being woken up and specifically driven to unfunny people where I got to go hang out with them for an hour. It's just a nightmare. It just ruins my whole day.
You know, I have said this, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it publicly because I do mean it, and I don't say it. I don't go to a lot of comedy shows, but I said this to friends of mine, and when I was mentioning you, somebody was talking about seeing, is it Dave Attell?
Dave Attell.
Dave Attell at the Improv. I said, if you want to go see a show, and I mean this, and I'm not blowing smoke up your butt here, I will tell you that I saw the show that you did last time you were at the Improv, and I came back the next night, and I went to see it again. I don't remember ever doing that for a live show.
Ow.
It's just, you have this, that quote is so you. That quote is so you, because you're like rebelling. You're a rebel. You had your folks in the audience, was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
You were doing this shtick, you're doing your regular shtick, which really would make a lot of parents kind of put their fingers in there.
Yeah.
And then you said some nice things about your dad and your mom and dad, and it was just cool. I enjoyed the whole weekend.
Heartfelt.
I really did.
You know, I used to think like a lot of radio DJs were really badass, dangerous guys until I started listening to you guys and you were deconstructing it. I was like, oh yeah, this is all, this is a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the worst experience, would you not agree that the worst experience we used to have was when you could handle it because you were in the business a lot longer than I was, when we would go to the DJ conventions.
Well, that was,
so
horrible. Last week, guys would walk up to you and go, hey.
Everybody be going, hey, how you doing?
And you know, one year this guy, Mason Dixon.
Oh,
it was Mason the year,
Dixon.
The ultimate.
It was the year the ultimate. The year
the ultimate F, the Dick Tracy movie came out.
Oh,
this guy walked through the lobby of this very plush hotel wearing a bright orange raincoat.
Bright yellow.
And with the fedora.
And he wore it like all weekend.
Like Warren Beatty. And he would walk around and, you know, the big thing is you get the fake handshake with, so good to see you. Or like Kid Leo said to me, Don, we must talk. And then you know, 2 seconds later, the guy walks down the hall and goes, who was that? And he goes, is that a-hole? I hate that guy. But you, I love you. You're the best. You're the best. Let's go do some coke.
There was never a bigger collection of scum in one room, and it was just, you know, we went for I don't know how many years, but every morning after that convention, somebody would walk up to me and say, well, how are we this morning?
Here's my life.
I hated
being there. When you would read that list of all the new features on these morning shows, it was just the most unfunny, like, you know, the some kind of like toilet flushing contest or people would call. Oh, it was so bad.
Now, Patton, here's the last question I'm going to have about this, and then we can move on.
Fine, yeah.
But really, all right, take us out of it.
Okay.
Do you think that any of the other DJs who you're going to go see will have read this and would approach you about it either on the air or off the air?
You know what? I don't know, because I'm not doing any more morning radio ever again. I even called my booking agent and said, look, if they insist I do morning radio, we'll just cancel the gig. There's plenty of clubs that pride themselves on the fact that we promote the club. You just do your show, and I'm just going to stick to those and not do these ones where I'm doing five shows.
Right.
You know, and a lot of these times it's just like, oh, they just want you on the show because they like the King and Queens. I'm like, yeah, but I want to do a good show for the audience that shows up, not for these angry commuters that don't, you know, want to go see my comedy show at night. Why am I entertaining these people?
And King of Queens is now entering its sixth year. How depressed is sometimes friend Leah Remini that the show's being moved from Monday to Wednesday?
I think we're all a little depressed and tense about that. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but
no, yeah, please do though.
They would. I don't know why we were this solid 8 p.m. Monday night show. We had no lead-in, and we built this great audience, and now they're moving us to Wednesdays at 9, and I certainly hope, I mean, we've got great fans, and, you know, hope that they'll follow us, but
you gotta love the lead-in. 60 minutes to 2.
60 minutes to 2.
Ooh, ouch.
Roll out the barrel. We have a barrel of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is still great. The writers are still good, but we're all mystified. And really, I can't. I tried to break down the logic of why they would do this, and I truly can't figure it out. Like, I can't figure out why they would do that.
Kevin, Leah, Jerry Stiller, all the other people, yourself included. Y'all talk and you're pissed.
Well, we're just mystified. I mean, we're not really pissed yet. We're going to wait to see how it goes. But there is just this, did we do something wrong? What I thought we were doing. You know, it's like, it's just weird. Why not leave us at the
Right.
What was broken? That kind of thing.
Well, I saw in that same magazine in which you had such awful things to say about DJs.
By the way, look, I'm still going to say, 99% of DJs stink.
And we agree. Yeah. There was a little box thing with Kevin. Where
that's right.
They're absolutely. It's obvious that Kevin's trying to put the best spin
on
this.
Putting the best spin on it.
Where he says, "Hey, we think it's a vote of confidence."
Right.
But then he also says, "I'm going to start to drink very heavily."
Yeah.
60 minutes too. Wow.
And I think
you have to look at it as a challenge, right? At a certain point.
Yeah, but you know, I think there is going to be a keg at the catering table. Why not? You know.
So now the show goes into syndication. How much cake do you stand to say? I mean, without giving us an exact figure. Are you going to get a nice check every month?
I'll put it this way. I get a piece of cake, but not a piece with a flower on it.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Right. But do you get a piece with icing on it, though?
There is icing.
Okay, so you're
going to icing.
Cool. You're going to do okay.
I'm not complaining.
You're going to do okay.
I'm in a very...
All right, and let me ask you a traditional question, since I'm a goofy, stalker-like fan of yours. Are you doing, obviously you have a very small role in King of Queens. Yeah. I'm curious if you're going to be, have you been approached anything movie-wise or anything like
that? I've done a couple of movies, and I'm friends with a lot of people that just do movies, and I just pop up in things, from time to time, and... but I'm like really concentrating on writing these days. I have a couple of things in the works writing wise, and then I'd co-written a pilot for Comedy Central a few years ago that didn't get picked up, and I do a lot of writing, a lot of punch up on films.
Would you ever do the kind of writing thing where you do it a la Albert Brooks, where you'd write something?
Oh God, I'd love to do that.
Yeah,
that's like my dream. If I could have his career,
all right, you should.
He is the greatest. Seriously,
he's it.
25 years ago when I worked in Chicago, this was back before he was well. He was on Johnny, but that was about it.
You're right.
And he had Modern Romance, which was not a real hit.
So good, though.
Well, anyway, he was in Chicago for a period of time, and I was doing my radio show, and I would get these crazy calls. And I would, I was playing records, but I'd record the calls and put them on the air, because the guy would go hey, is this Don?
He'd go, yes.
What channel are you on? Anyway, one day... They say Albert Brooks is in town. You want him as a guest on your show.
Uh-huh.
I love it. So he comes in and he says, I've been calling you for the last 2 months. And it turns out it's Albert Brooks, who every day had been, not every day, but the two or three times a week, picking up the phone, calling, just prank calling.
A bit of a radiophile, right? Yeah. Wasn't he a bit of a radiophile?
Yeah, he listened to all the radio stations.
Radio, and if you listen to his album, Comedy Plus One,
yeah.
He does all the, just nails it, the whole radio talk show.
As a matter of fact, to make it go full circle, that tape we play of Albert Brooks is an indictment of DJs everywhere. The tape where he does a Kooky Crazy Call is a copyrighted feature.
Copyrighted feature, Kooky Crazy Call.
So what scripts have you punched up that we would have heard of?
Shallow Hal.
Ooh.
The fact that Jason Alexander has a tail. That's mine.
That whole idea was the dog tail?
Yeah, that was all mine.
That's good.
Osmosis Jones.
So hold on. Let's stick with that for a second.
Okay.
At what point do you get the script and you say to the Farrelly brothers, whoever it is, you say, you know what? Jason Alexander.
What happens is me and a bunch of, it's like the Farrelly brothers and me and like four of the guys go out to this, to their beach house in Malibu, and we all hang out. And just eat pizza and drink beer all day and just go through the script and just gag. And then it got to the point where they were like, why does Jason Alexander have this thing about women's imperfections and what's his problem? And then I don't know what made me say it. I was like, he has a tail. What? I go, he has a prehensile tail like a dog. And they went, yeah, exactly.
You guys remember when I saw that movie, I said, the single greatest movie.
You did? I remember that.
Is when Jason Alexander pulls down his pants and you see there's a nub.
Yeah, there's a nub.
You talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I also asked you about in Zoolander.
Zoolander.
You're a monkey.
You're a monkey, Derek.
You're a monkey.
That was a thing where, God, how did I get that? I know Ben, not to drop names, but, okay, remember on the movie awards a few years ago when,
dropping a name.
When Ben Stiller accepted his award, and then Will Ferrell came out and
as the gym teacher or something? Right, yeah.
That I wrote that he is his acceptance speech coach.
That's all committing to the bit, right?
Yeah, when I said, you should pee your pants at the end of it, and then although Will Ferrell is such a genius, he ripped all the stuff out there when he's like, remember he kept calling, Tom Cruise, TJ.
Yeah.
I've referred to him as TJ. I've been working with TJ for 11 years. What's our mantra, Ben? He goes, gratitude, not attitude. That's right.
How many things do you remember on an award show? I mean that is yeah. memorable. You know,
yeah, well, especially just that he's so committed to just like peeing his pants. So much fun writing with those guys. And then there was another thing I wrote for Ben, the sixth Backstreet Boy.
On
the VMAs, where he was the guy that got kicked out of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, so you wrote that?
I wrote that.
Now, I don't know if you remember that or not.
I don't remember, no.
Okay, during the Video Music Awards, Ben Stiller doing all these skits. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he's auditioning to be the Backstreet Boy. He's the sixth one.
He was the one that was kicked out before they got huge, because he also had the role as the merman in an aqua show down at SeaWorld.
He was that guy, like,
and he chose that.
You know George Starkey? Like Ringo Starr. He was...
Before they hit big.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right before they hit.
So now Patton, that's a goddamn funny premise, and the other stuff is funny. How come there's not more pub that's coming from you?
Well, because I'm paid very handsomely to do it, so I could really care less about the credits right now. And I'm working on my own scripts. Hopefully, eventually, you know, they'll get, you know, I co-wrote a script that got sold to Miramax and put in a turnaround. And then there's other things that I'm working on now.
Because, I mean, I don't know. If I'm you, I'd have a business card that says Patton Oswalt. I just put on the bottom. I'm the guy who, came up with the idea that Jason Alexander should have a dog tail in Shallow Hell.
The word of mouth has gotten around enough now that I keep doing regular punch-up jobs on movies.
Wow.
I just did Charlie's Angels 2 and, you know, stuff like that. So that, you know, it's like a regular thing.
So when you get on, how much punching up is there, like on Charlie's Angels 2?
Well, Charlie's Angels 2, the movie was pretty much done. Like, McGee had really shot a good movie. They just wanted, like, any kind of extra, it's called ADR, which is like, can we have, like, a funny thing coming out of this radio or, like, an off-screen line? Or they could reshoot a couple of scenes, but it was pretty much there.
How much fun is that?
It's great.
I mean, that's got to be a blast, especially when you've got a funny mind to start with. To just sit there it requires a tremendous amount of effort, I would imagine.
Well,
but
you just watch the movie, and McGee is, like, the coolest guy on the planet, and you just laugh and just go back and forth with a bunch of other writers.
You start getting a track record as that, too. It's like, you know, get Oswald! We need Oswald. This movie needs Oswald.
Get
Oswald on the phone. I'll tell you right now, we're going to make this thing right now. We get Oswald.
You need to sprinkle some Oswalds on
them. And honestly, I cannot believe you're the guy.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's a claim to fame.
Really?
Right. You don't know. And I liked Shallow Hal. I liked the premise.
Yeah,
I love Jack Black.
Oh, he's great.
So, the stuff with Tony Robbins, I really dug.
What's the movie Wag the Dog where they say, get the voice? Go get the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Patton, it would be, get the mind.
But I'm telling you, that moment
when
Jason Alexander pulls down his pants, and that nub is so great that's the moment where you just go, okay, now this movie is in the genre of something about Mary.
Since you do this, I'm going to ask you a theory I have about these comedies. I think a great comedy, when you look at the great comedies, you look at Something About Mary, you look at Animal House, you look at some of the really great. Isn't it really, you mentioned we throw gags around, isn't that what a comedy, and the Farrelly Brothers do it better than anybody, it's just gag to gag to gag to gag. And isn't the mark of a great movie is not necessarily tying it up in a bow, it's assembling in some sort of cohesive manner the best group of gags.
Assembling the best group, and also finding the perfect, most simplest delivery system so that you can get that over with in 5 minutes, so the audience is like, we get it, we're on board,
right.
And then you just can ding rest for the rest of the 90 minutes. That's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
Old School was a brilliant movie and literally has no story. And they're just like, here it is, they're going through midlife crisis, they start to practice, there, boom, let's go. And then they just start, that's it. And
the only knock I had Old School is that at the very end they try to tie the story in,
like,
and that slowed the movie down a little bit.
Who cares at that point?
But the first part when they're doing gag,
God,
was you know, and that's what a comedy is just gag after gag,
right? Roland's amazing, Will Ferrell's amazing, and there's a Farrelly Brothers script that's floating around them that they're working on, and apparently it got delayed, and now it's going to get made. And it's so funny. It's one of the funniest scripts I've ever read. Like, I was like in tears when I was reading it. It's this movie called The Ringer, and it's about a guy that he gets into some massive debt, and he has to pay the debt off, so he pretends to be mentally challenged and then joins the Special Olympics so like he can win all the events and get the money. It is genius. It's called The Ringer. It is so funny. And apparently, like, the Special Olympics totally endorsed the movie because it's really, you know, it's a really positive portrayal of the Special Olympics, but it's got this jackass in the middle of it.
Well, you know, you could say the same thing about Shallow Hal, that on one hand, you know, the whole thing is that Gwyneth Paltrow is just a big, you know, in real life, big, fat piece of lard, and that's what the joke is, but, you know, at the end it's got
that. The Farrelly Brothers, cutting edge when it comes to challenge individuals.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Hello, Warrens. Yeah.
Frank
yeah.
Mike Dunbay. So when you're at the Improv tonight, will you tonight, work?
Incidentally, and I'll give a plug here. Patton does a fine challenge guy in his bit.
Do you work blue? Do you do the retard humor?
Yeah, I please, if you're a fan of George Bush, or if you're sensitive, just please don't. I got booed off stage in Pittsburgh in February.
Well, the climate.
Because
right?
of the climate, yeah, I do some material about. And again, the tamest political stuff you've ever heard.
Yeah, and your riff on George Bush was the funniest take. I still quote you on your riff. I'm not going to give it away. It was
terribly
so funny.
In Pittsburgh, they didn't see it your way. And
Really? And you were the same bit?
I was chanted off stage with a room full of 300 people pounding the table screaming, Bush rocks! Bush rocks! And I had to get led through the room by the club owner while people were, like, throwing drinks at me. You know, shrimp poppers at me.
But it was not at all anything controversial
or
anything.
Especially if you look at it, like, within context, like, oh, okay. Although, here's the great thing about Washington, D.C., unlike other places that I've been. Washington, D.C., even if people, like, there were a lot of Republicans in the crowd so far this week. The kind of people in this city can watch a show and go, I don't agree with that, but that's pretty funny.
Right.
Like, they can separate themselves personally from it and go, oh, that's pretty good. I'll give you that one. You know what I mean? They'll take the hit. But other cities, they just get so wound up.
It's a tough climate the last few months, you know, as far as people that are in entertainment.
If you got the thing going on TV, and you're going to get a piece of the cake, without the flour, but with the icing, and you're punching up the scripts and everything, then... Why are you still going to the comedy clubs? Is it because you like it?
I love doing stand-up.
Did you?
I really love doing stand-up. I think it's an art form. I know that sounds pretentious, and it's also one of the few dictatorships left.
You said you dick.
I like cheese puffs. I'm gonna marry a puppy.
You still do the TiVo bit?
Yeah, I still do TiVo.
All right, cool. Once again, remember, I am a stalker fan.
Oh, okay. Wow. You really are.
Well, I brought some. I want the night. The next night, I've never done that in my life.
Are you going to come back?
This weekend, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got my kids, but I swear to God, it's worth it, really.
Patton, here's the deal. We'd like you to stay for another break, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
We have a contest we do sometimes called Make Us Laugh. Where our listeners call, and
oh, really? Oh, this is great.
And I was thinking today, if you wouldn't mind, that can anybody out there make Patton Oswalt, and listen, the bar is really raised. Yeah. You're not dealing with dummies like me and Mike now.
No, you were dealing, I mean, really, if you're talking about the whole genre, making a stand-up comedian laugh is probably one of the most difficult
things. Yeah, because we're like the most sour, misanthropic people on the planet. We really are, we're just not pleasant.
And no pressure, but as I mentioned, this is the man who came up with the concept for Jason Alexander to have that nub in Shallow Hal.
That's right.
Okay? He's punching up Charlie's Angels, too.
Wow.
So, if you can make Patton laugh. And Robbie, what do you think? 10 minutes?
12.
12?
12.
12. I will start with 10.
Very good.
We'll put 10 minutes on the clock, and Patton, all we ask is the same thing that we do it when we do it ourselves. Don't be gratuitous.
No, of course.
Don't cut anybody any slack.
No.
If you don't think they're funny, say you suck or move along.
Everyone around you will be able to laugh at what they want to, but you are the great judge.
Right. And listen, don't feel bad if the 10 minutes goes by and you don't laugh at anything.
It's happened before.
Because that happens too.
Oh, that's fine, man.
Okay. 877-365-3636. Oh, and the prize we have is the $1,000 travel voucher to give away. Hold on, wrong one, Rob. There you go. $1,000 travel voucher to be used for any travel-related services by Travel Focus.
It's a great prize.
Can you make Patton Oswalt laugh?
Right.
877-365-3636. That's the phone number.
Fantastic.
So, we got a break, but... You've been here in D.C., you're supposed to come by yesterday, and we weren't here because of this dumb Donald Rumsfeld thing.
That was a laugh riot.
Did you,
how many, God, just, it was all fart jokes, though. I didn't know he was going to fart jokes.
Did you,
weird.
Did you go on any radio shows here?
I had to do a morning show.
Did you go to Jack Diamond?
I went to Jack Diamond.
But look, you know, Jack, he was very nice to me and very pleasant.
Hi, Pat, how are you?
It's the act of getting up at 7 a.m. and expecting to be funny with, like...
Catch Pat in the improv.
Beyond.
Okay, he's a funny, funny man.
Please, please, I love the improv. I want to come back. I just want
that's right, we forgot.
Please pack my show so that I don't ever have to do morning radio again. And nothing against Jack Diamond, I don't like getting up in the morning.
Well, we got everything against Jack Diamond.
If I'm awake and it is a single digit on the clock, something's wrong.
You know that whole thing you were talking about, phony radio? He's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I could barely perceive what was going on. I literally just, my eyes were closed.
Hey, thank you, Pat. That's great.
Oh, that's great.
No.
You want to catch a great show. You
I mean, I've had to do like 3-hour stints out in Omaha where it's just like, all right, it's Friday morning. We got our Fog Hat Flapjack Snack Attack going on down at the IHOP, Route 29. Survivor members of Fog Hat are down there. Come on by and grab a plate or short stack.
And I know
stack them high.
I don't know what he's got going today, too. Free for all Friday. Come on down and get you. We got some free breakfast buffet.
You would love a friend of mine, Greg Barrett, who does this fake morning DJ called The Lemur. I'm The Lemur. I'm on KMKY, The Monkey. If you're gay and into metal, come on down to The Girder for Gay Metal Monday. Like all these horrible promotions that he's doing. Because Greg Barrett, he's a genius, and he does, I just did his character, but you guys would love The Lemur.
Listen, if you're in the 5:30 Club, I want to tell you right now that Patton Oswalt is here. He's very, very funny man. I'm Jack Diamond.
Jack, I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you. They are.
Oh, no, Pat's going to be at the improv.
No. See, this is not right.
All right.
You are making fun of Jack Diamond. And the deal is, Jack Diamond is in bed with the improv, and we know that all the comedians that come through town have to go on a show.
Don't forget to join Patton. He will be at the Chili-tacular this weekend. It'll be a lot of fun.
See, the thing is, Patton, you don't know.
He's double over.
Where's the tape of him apologizing?
Screamed at.
Right? Oh, man.
I'm so going to get screamed at.
You don't know the history we have with Jack.
Oh, dear.
Please just listen to this.
Okay.
This brief tape of the last time that we got into...
Where's the maze when we need him?
Remember the maze?
Yeah.
One of our DJ fights with Jack Diamond. Okay. This was the result.
I got to hear it.
The Don and Mike Show goes to war.
This time, no mercy on you.
Sure.
You son of a bitch.
The enemy... Jack Diamond, a.k.a. Harvey Joel Fisher.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's box has been opened.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
And the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please stop talking about you.
But despite all of his tough talk, Harvey Joel pussies out just 24 hours later.
Harvey.
Good morning.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again.
A bad strength on the lab.
America safe, so remember what we've learned. Don't with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and God bless America.
See, so the thing is, one day...
You're not responsible for any of this.
One day this guy gets a wild hair, and he starts going, hey, Don and Mike, what are they saying about me? So we really went after him and said, never thinking the guy would do it, if you want us to stop, you got to call us up on our show and say, please stop talking about me. 5 minutes after we're on the air, they say, Jack Diamond's on the phone.
For people as petty as we are, it was one of the greatest moments of our lives.
Thank you.
It was, okay, it's good. Goodbye. Yeah, thank you. And I work for him. So.
Okay, I take that back. DJs are angrier than comedians.
Yeah.
The level of anger here. I'm Darth Vader, but you guys are the Emperor. You have like a whole other level of support.
Let me just ask. When you're on the Jack Diamond Morning Show, did you see his giant electric weenie joke book?
What?
There's a DJ joke service.
Oh, no.
I guess you not. Called the Electric Weenie.
It is beyond bad. There's always that category of so bad it's good.
Yeah.
This doesn't even fall into that category.
So you get sent jokes? And
jokes are sent on a weekly basis.
Right? And I'll give you an example.
It's so depressing.
Hey, Robbie, give me a jingle here.
It is. You know, it is. That's the word, depressing, because the jokes there's so little effort put into writing these jokes that it's just
You got a little
depressing.
Echo for me?
A little echo? Hey, where's some echo? Some Jack Diamond?
Some Jack Diamond echo?
Hey, good morning, Jack Diamond in the morning. It's happening at 7 o'clock. I've been working at 3 o'clock. It's happening to be there. Man, I had a dream last night. I was eating shredded wheat. I woke up and half my mattress was gone.
Like that.
I am not effing you, Patton. That's it. That's the show you were on today.
Oh, man.
Hey, thank you.
He's crying.
Thank you. We want to thank Pat Nelson for coming on today.
Making Pat a little uncomfortable right now.
He was really nice to me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Want to let everybody know that it's not Mike making these jokes about Harvey Cole Fisher. It's not Patton. He doesn't have anything to do with it.
I'm in Mordor right now. They're influencing my brain right now.
Yeah, that's right. Pat Nelson here is a fantastic guy.
Thank you.
Let's talk about me a little bit. Let's talk about me and my kids and my wife.
Yes, three. I'm real excited about the fact that I'm going to get another new car that I'm going to drive. I'm going to put a plaque in the old one. So is this car driven by Jack Diamond? Sorry.
And we even had Leah get into it.
This is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
This is a long-running feud.
Yeah. It's not like you just went on any show.
Yeah, welcome.
Oh, anyway, make Patton laugh.
Yes, make Patton laugh. He is here. He is a professional.
Make him stop crying. So wait, you're going to get there tonight with the guys of the improv are going to say, man, you know,
What did you do?
We're aligned. You had nothing to do with it. I will sign an affidavit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're aligned with Jack.
Aligned.
I will write anything down. I'll write a letter.
I just want to tell jokes to the nice people. come on. Why do I got to get pulled in?
Come on, little buddy. I want
to say,
you're just so great. I want to say you're so funny. The show you're on is Patton's on the King of Queens. He's just marvelous, little buddy.
He made me choke.
I had to do a morning radio tour one time, talking to all these different DJs for like tape later, and half of them like didn't know what I was doing. Like I was told to call them, but then they never like expressed any like, oh my God, I'm sorry that I didn't. Like they would go, so you're on Just Shoot Me? No, King of Queens. Great, and that's on ABC, CBS. All right, and that's with Ray Romano. No, Kevin James. Good, okay.
We're talking. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I was like, why did I just call? It was like, it's like talking to a mental patient.
That's what you did this morning for about 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Thanks.
You are just a whore.
A whore of the highest regard.
I was woken up against my will and driven in the dusky morning.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, and nothing against Jack. I just hate
right.
the morning.
No, you'd hate to piss off Jack. Because Jack is such a power broker in this town.
I hate the rising sun. I don't hate any.
No. You hate Jack Diamond.
Listen, you like us, you
I
hate
feel like
Jack
I'm Charlie
Diamond.
Sheen in Platoon right now. And I was like between Elias and Barnes.
Barnes! I got news for you. He's Charlie, okay? If you're going to choose sides, he's the Vietnamese. He's the Viet Cong.
We're going to hand you a .45 automatic. You're going to go into that hole, and you're going to find him and kill him.
We're the good guys.
I love the smell of Jack Diamond in the morning. Okay, we'll be back. Make right. Patton laugh, everybody.
Yeah.
Boy, is he uncomfortable now.
And frankly, Don and Mike would be Elias in that situation.
Yeah, he would.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We would. You just spoke about us in third person.
There you go. Thank you. Don and Mike, don't play like that.
Don't take your headphones off yet,
sorry,
dude. Now we're going to break.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll come right back with the Make Patton laugh.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond, wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays with the sounds of Christmas, a gift from our family to yours. On Washington's Mix 107.3.
Hang on. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I have a gift for you. Gift for you.
Did they make you break rocks in prison?
No, Aegon. But I did something much harder than that, thank you. I wrote a book.
Jack Diamond in the morning.
Hey, thank you.
Mix 107.3.
Hey, Harvey.
Who the f*** you think you're dealing with?
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Pat's in there right now.
Hey, what happened?
Santa, what's up? What has he done?
New. When I open up,
Hey, listen, it's not Patton, it's us. So the guys,
let's go on record and say that.
The guys at the Improv shouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
Just because during the break, Patton said Jack Diamond was, and I wrote it down.
A
nice phony.
I didn't know.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're
making stuff up.
I'm not making that up.
Oh, I hate this show. I'm going to go on the Grease Man show next month.
Good luck. Go down to Chinatown.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's like on a daytime Korean station now.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Does he still pay for it?
Yeah.
To go on?
He's another one of these guys that could have been in this article about, you know, DJ's gone nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, Patton Oswalt, DC Improv, tonight, tomorrow night, 8 and 10:30. For tickets, call 202-296-7008. Go to the DCImprov.com. Now,
I'm reading your plug. Why are you covering your face? I'm just thinking of the... metal storm that I'm going to walk into tonight when I go to the club.
It's not you.
There'll be some tenseness.
All right. Well, they should. It's us.
Well, you know what? That's why I have an iPod and wine.
Yeah. Also go to PattonOswalt.com.
PattonOswalt.com. My website.
Here we go. Now make Patton laugh.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
You ready?
Fun ends now.
Now, because we've had so much fun, we're only going to do this for 5 minutes, Robbie.
5 minutes on the board?
5 minutes on the board. All right. When we take the first call, you let me know. And Patton, you just be honest.
Yeah.
And you're playing for $1,000 travel voucher.
Wow.
Let's go right to the phones. Rob, on my mark.
Ready?
You're on the air. Make Patton Oswalt laugh.
Hey, how's it going, Patton?
Hey, good, man.
Hey, why aren't there any Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
Oh, I don't know why.
Because Puerto Ricans don't work in the future either.
Okay, hi, Don and Mike.
And it begins.
Make Patton laugh.
Don and Mike, a dyslexic man walks into a bra.
Okay. Hello, Don and
Rob Spiewak, laughing hysterically. I just thought I'd report.
Rob, you can laugh out loud. Don't.
You know, that didn't deserve it.
But you were laughing. Hi, make Patton laugh.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hi, Patton.
Hey.
Hey, what's the difference between light and hard?
I don't know.
You can sleep with the light on.
Guys, I'll tell you where the diamonds are. Seriously, we don't need to do this.
It's a diamond.
We need to do this. Guys, it's safe. It's very safe.
You know, I hate to mention this, Pat, but you brought it up again.
Diamond.
No, I don't know where the diamonds are.
Oh, God.
About the brain, man.
I was referencing Marathon Man. Right. Jack, I'm sorry.
Jack. Jack. Is it Harvey? Listen, during the break, he said you're a nice jerk. No, he said you're a nice phony.
No.
Now, tonight, if he... Listen, what are you worried about? It's like Jack Diamond's going to be at the show tonight?
Yeah.
He's not going to be there.
Yeah, probably not.
I know he's not going to be there.
And cut to 8:15.
Tell him that I'm an a-hole.
Glaring at me from the front row.
Tell him you hate me. I don't care. Hello. Make Patton laugh.
Hello?
Well, there's a bad cell
phone.
Hello, let me lock that line and take this one. Make Patton Oswalt laugh.
Hello, this is Christopher Walken singing American Pie. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. And I swore that if I had the chance, I would make those people dance. Maybe they'd be happy for a while.
You got everybody except Patton.
That's a pretty good
Christopher Walken.
Tough, but it's like Jack Nicholson is a dentist.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'll break his kneecaps.
Okay. Right. Sorry, you had us. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Patton.
Yeah.
What's worse than a male chauvinist pig?
I don't know.
A woman that won't do what she's told.
There's Rob. That would be Rob.
Rob.
Dang.
Hold on. Now, Bart, you're getting in the middle of quality time.
At least you suggested I tell my joke, even though I...
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
What's the hardest part about rollerblading?
I don't know.
Telling your parents you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Goodbye, Bart. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, make Patton laugh.
Hello?
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 Yeah.
Is this me?
Come again?
Hello?
Hello, make Patton laugh.
What's red and smells like Eleanor Roosevelt?
I don't know.
Helen Keller's tongue.
Patton?
That got half a smile.
Half a smile.
Half a smile.
Is that now that count?
Floppy 69 by two of America's most important women.
Robbie, does that count?
That gets you close.
Up, we're down to the 2 minute mark.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, make Patton laugh.
Hey, hey guys. The news story may not be on Buzz's newscast, but a scientific report just came out that said that
too much time. Good lord.
Hello, Dynamite. Make Patton laugh.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
don't waste our time. Get to it.
Okay, what did Kermit the Frog say when Jim Henson died?
He was speechless.
Hello, make Patton laugh.
Yeah, Patton, have you heard about the new corduroy pillow?
Yeah, it's making headlines.
Hello, Don and Mike, make Patton laugh.
Patton?
Yeah.
Why did God invent douche?
Something about fish? Go ahead. Okay.
See, that would have had us.
You know, he's getting better material than we get.
Yeah.
Hello, make Patton laugh.
How many kids with ADD does it take to change a light bulb?
You want to go bike riding?
Damn it.
He knew the punchline. I like the punchline.
Hello, that's in the new Maxim, by the way.
Hello, make Patton laugh.
Hey, guys, what's Chill and Tell's favorite convenience store?
I don't know.
Wah-wah!
Yeah, that was good.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Job.
That is a
there
good
you
job.
Go.
We had a winner.
Yeah.
Wawa.
Wow.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Neither had I.
Afraid.
Had you heard it? Had you ever
I've
heard it?
I've never heard that one.
I've been listening to you guys for months. I've been trying to get through for months. Everybody's come up with every Helen Keller joke. That's my own personally made up one.
When you come up with a new Helen Keller joke, you deserve to win.
Yeah. Helen Keller jokes always work.
Right.
Was like really clever because you could say that, you know, who is Helen Keller's favorite president?
Right.
What's her favorite Italian food?
Wawa.
Burger!
my friend.
Wawa.
Well, what's your name?
My name is Joe.
Joe, where are you from?
Ray.
Originally, I'm from Jersey, so I'm very familiar with Wawa stores. That's why I came up with that.
A simple question, where are you from?
Yeah.
Right now I'm from Manassas, Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You've won a $1,000 travel voucher. You can travel anywhere for any travel-related services offered by Travel Focus. Enjoy, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very
much. Good job, Joe.
That is rare to come up with a brand new one in that category. I thought that category had been exhausted.
Kissing my fingers.
And we had two, technically.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did that underneath the 2 minute warning, right?
Best and
laugh we've ever had.
Wow. Pretty good.
That's pretty dramatic.
Did you get that this morning, huh?
Oh, love them.
Thank you. I want to say that.
But there's no place for humor like that. Don't you agree with me, little buddy?
I do, Diamond. There's no place for that kind of crap on the radio. I didn't mean to say a bad word. That's not that kind of garbage.
Helen Keller's a role model to many people. Jack Diamond.
And Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, what are they thinking?
This morning, Jack Diamond, I'll be out driving.
Too soon?
Driving my Corvette this weekend. This will be my big red Corvette.
And then, of course, when you trade it in, they'll put a plaque in it so other people can drive it with the Diamond Corvette.
Yeah, that's another gig he's got going, Pat.
What?
Is that if you go to a car dealership, the deal is Jack Diamond gets these Corvettes.
Uh-huh.
And he drives them.
Did they give them to him for free?
I think the deal is that he buys them.
Yeah.
And then he compulsively trades them in.
Yeah.
And you go into the dealership, and the come-on is there's a little plaque inside that says Jack Diamond.
You got to be kidding.
Driven by Jack Diamond or something.
I swear on my kid's life. Anyway, good booking this morning.
Hey, Chili, let's go to Chili. What's happening in the news this morning? We got Stacy with the trial.
Would that be officially our longest running radio feud?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson, I'll be honest with you. Here's the way it looks now.
Thank you, Chili.
Did you have a thing with Cousin Brucey or something like that? Or
we're joined by Patton Oswalt. I keep trying to change the subject.
Oh, man.
Well, you got to be somewhere. Give the youngsters a pair of shorts. They travel. What a beautiful weekend. I married the tambourine player in my band. I want to say hi to Pam, my ex-wife. Well, I'm on great, great terms with Pam. She's wonderful. I had four children with her, and then I kicked her right out as soon as I knocked up a tambourine player in my band. And don't forget, we got the high-low jackpot coming up. And a very, very funny man you may have heard of. His name is Patton Oswalt. He'll be joining us. He'll be at the Improv. This is the spot where all the happening comedians go.
Yeah.
Rob, the last message was, come see me play my unamplified guitar. Diamond Alley. Anyway, Patton. Have a good time tonight at the Improv.
Oh, man.
I hope that you don't get any ass because of us.
If you do, really, this was all us. This was not you.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
This is really the longest running radio feud we've had. Wow. We had fun doing it.
And, how soon are you going to do Low Budget Jeopardy after this segment?
Next break.
Okay, good. So I can hear you on the car on the way back.
Yes. And Patton at the DC Improv. Go to PattonOswalt.com. I've always thought you're funny. I've always thought you're a great guy. But I'm very serious that I have an entire new realm of respect. You are the guy that came up with the tale.
The tale.
For Shallow House.
Yeah. And really, if you get a chance, and I mean it, I was telling Buzz out in the hallway, you know, go see this show. It's, I think it's some of the best stand-up you'll see.
Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Well, man. Come back again next time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're always welcome. Call and tell...
I want to come back just when I'm visiting my folks and, like, when I don't have to, like, go work.
Your folks going to see you this weekend at all?
Yeah, they come out tonight.
Very good. Very good.
Tonight. Are they sitting at Jack's table?
There we go.
Hey, I'm Jack Diamond. Good morning. Hey, your son's wonderful. He was on my show this morning. He's wonderful. It's 8:18, your son goes off. Roughly, hey, if you want to be here for the 10:30 show, you had about 2 hours, 26 minutes. Jack Diamond, I'm phony nice.
This segment with Patton has had most of the time his head in his arms.
Yeah. Hey, this is Jack Diamond. You heard it on Dynamite. I'm phony nice.
You did say
can
that.
I deny that?
You did that.
I am going to... Where's Roy Cohn when I need him?
It's kind of cool in the studio right now. 40% relative humidity. Jack Diamond in the morning. Hey, how about you, Stacey? How are you, Stacey?
Hello, Jackson.
All right, Patton, you're off the hook.
Thank you. We love you. Thank you for coming by, Patton.
Guys.
Always great to have you here.
See you soon. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Good luck with everything.
No, you got to leave.
Man.
You got to leave.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. He had a wonderful time. I could tell. He was when his head was in his hands.
So thank you, Patton.
All right, there he goes.
Thank you.
He understands the feud now. I think.
I think so.
I think. You know what? I think you did a wonderful job of obsessing on that while he was here. I think he completely understands what's going on.
The thing is that this disc jockey, for some reason, has got. Some packed with Satan about the Improv.
Oh, does he really? I didn't know that.
It's like it's tied into the website or something. And I guess the deal is for every Patton Oswalt that comes through, Harvey, Jack, has to have every hack.
Yeah.
So he gets like 8 hacks.
Oh, really? And then one Patton Oswalt?
Every 8th time it's somebody great.
Right.
And anyway, so, you know, good deal for him.
Yeah.
Way to go. Hey, it's Friday morning. That means it's time for the Comics Corner. Joining us this morning, very, very funny man, right from the Funny Pagers. Patton Oswalt. Eat me, Jack. You dick. And as Patton requested, a Friday favorite. We'll get to Jeopardy right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two members of the Seattle Star Wars Society are giving new meaning to the term diehard fan. They kicked off the new year by getting in line for Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, 4.5 months before the May 16th release of the film. John Guth and Jeff Twyton, I think it is, are outside Cinerama in Seattle, Washington, waiting. John and Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm trying to
do... Hi, John and Mike.
Oh, we get to say hi, Mom, and everything like that. Jeff and John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you, and maybe we'll check in with you as the 129 days tick off.
Please.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you, Don and Mike.
Dude!
The Don and Mike Show. Guilty of inciting happiness. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right here.
Let's get to, you know, we've had so much show today.
Crazy.
After Donald Rumsfeld, like, I really threw off the timing this week.
I know.
That we got so much stuff that we haven't gotten to this week.
I know.
Because we had the Memorial Day thing. And
right.
And yesterday, just idiotic. Put Donald Rumsfeld on our show.
Yep.
Idiotic. Dumb, dumb, dumb. As Michael Moore said, shame on you. Alan Line one. Shame on you.
Shame, shame, shame.
Now, here you go. Friday favorite.
You're going to like this one today.
We've had him before. But never... In the role that he's playing now in the number one movie, Bruce Almighty.
Hello.
Here is
how are
God.
Hi.
Morgan Freeman.
I'm glad I could come by and have the time to talk with all of you. How are you?
So how does it feel to be in the number one movie in the world?
I'm very thrilled that the people have come out and supported the movie, and I hope you've gotten the time to drop by and see the movie yourself. I hope you visit it and enjoy it. I think I play a good god.
I wanted to see it.
Yes, I know you did.
Frieda and I went. It was sold out, so we had to go see The In-Laws with Albert Brooks.
Well, you know, when you do that that type of thing, when you're in the picture business, that's what you look for. You look for sellouts. Sellouts each and every weekend. Wouldn't I love to see a sellout for the entire run of the movie? But I know that's not going to happen. I know it's probably impossible. How have you been, Don?
I've been fine, but I want to...
Buzz, how have you been?
Well, Mr. Freeman.
Rob, good to see you.
Tell you something about him, though.
Yes.
He's got a problem.
Yeah. I'm aware of that.
Good.
He's got a problem that nobody knows about, and it's a problem that's more severe than his simple racism.
Do you know that in the movie, you know, he doesn't think you should be God?
I understand that. I've been fighting that for years. People like that don't have the time for me. But I will tell you right now, I'd like to change his mind, and I think I could change his mind if I could spend some time with him.
You want to spend some time with him right now?
He's a good boy. Well, I could tell you a story about him that I found out. You know, I did what I always do. I think about each and every one of you when I'm on the road, when I'm on location, making my movies all around this fine country, sometimes overseas. And I study you because I'm obsessed with all of you. Because behind the show and all of your lives and your stories and everything you do, you've all got very, very different stories that the public doesn't know about, and I've done some research on each and every one of you that you might find quite fascinating.
Huh. So you want to start with Rob A? Who do you want to start with?
Start with whoever you choose. It's dealer's choice.
Well, he's right here, and you mentioned that, and I know that he's got a problem with you playing God.
Hi, MF.
Hello, Rob.
And I don't mean playing God, like, you know, pretending you're God. I mean, he's got a problem with you being in the movie. Anyway, Morgan Freeman. Now, are you here as Morgan Freeman or as God?
I'm here as God, but I'm here as Morgan Freeman to tell you stories you may not have known.
You want to start on Rob?
Yes, I will.
I'll just wait for a visual cue, I guess, for the symphony.
Rob. Jolly Rob. Laughing Rob. Silly Rob. All these faces at work masked the brutal fact that Rob was in agony. That's right. A grapefruit-sized tumor was turning into a volleyball smack dab in the middle of Rob's colon.
Oh,
and it hurt him just to blink his eyes, but he wouldn't tell any of you. Yes, a steady diet of Krispy Kreme donuts and his wife's meatloaf had resulted in the worst health condition anyone had ever seen. Inflammation, infection, and now, yes, the big casino.
The big C.
Yeah, Rob, we'll be looking at the crimson commode for quite some long time. And in just 2 weeks' time, Rob, we'll die.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you.
Is there anything I can do?
No, nothing at all. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Thank you. Like that.
Goodbye. Wow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm glad
this does not
I've enjoyed
well.
My time with you. I've enjoyed the time I had. Enjoy the time on Earth that you have left.
Before you die.
With that grapefruit-sized tumor. Very nice. That was fun. I enjoyed doing that.
But normally you have a little upbeat, you know, parodies of each of us. That was.
I don't have anything upbeat today. It's all very dreary and dismal and dark. It's some of the saddest stuff I've ever heard. Each and every one of you, you're creating this image that you have on the radio. But the fact of the matter is all you're all messed up. You're all screwed up. Each and every one of your own little ways. And I know all about it. I do indeed. Pick a card.
Well, I'll pick me.
Donnie G. Father's Day was just around the corner. Don loved talking about being a dad. He discusses family daily on the air. What he didn't discuss was the other families he had across the country. A total of 9. That's right. Don had a wife and 1 or 2 children in 9 cities across America.
I worked a lot of places.
North America. In Chicago, L.A., and dare I say, in Toronto, Canada. Don was the head of the family, and nobody knew. Don knew, though. He knew that time was running out on his little charade,
and that 9 would turn into 0 before you know it.
It's like a Lifetime,
It's a Lifetime movie. Don and his 9 brides all across the country.
You ever seen that on the Lifetime channel?
Lifetime. I enjoy that when I have the time to watch it. Lifetime is one of my favorite shows.
They always have...
Not a show, it's a network. Yes. I understand that.
They always have those TV movies about the guy that's married to 2 women at once.
I understand.
Two families.
Well, you, in fact, are married to 9. 9 women with 1 or 2 kids with each family. I know you try to fly across the country and cover them all, but time's running out on you, Tommy G.
Hey, well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan.
Ooh. Pick a card.
Well, unfortunately, we have to wait for the music to re-cue.
I understand that. That's the way those things work.
You got a message for Patton Oswalt, who I know is listening right now on his way down to the improv.
Patton Oswalt, stand-up comedian, little guy, funny man punching up scripts. What he couldn't punch up was his association with that convicted murderer, Jack Diamond.
Oh, no! Now, do you,
I'm just kidding, as he would say, but no, he was terrified. He was under the thumb of the improv and Jack Diamond. Patton Oswalt, King of Queens, Spence.
We've got,
I watch that show when I have time.
We got Charlie, we got Lisa, we got Joe. Did you spend any time with my friend Mike?
I did.
Oh. Well, let's talk, and I don't know where Mike is right now, but let's talk about my best buddy, Mike O'Mara.
Mike O'Mara. Mike would like you to think he's a party animal, going out all the time with all of his friends.
He does.
But the only party Mike goes to is a single room with a hot plate and a cheap bottle of booze. Mike didn't tell his friends and co-workers that he was broke. That's right, busted, bankrupt.
Wow.
Mike had taken the savings he had left after years of alimony, and he had invested in 3 popular stocks, Enron, MCI WorldCom, and Martha Stewart. Mike wouldn't be in on Monday. He had an appointment with an overdose of sleeping pills and vodka. He didn't have a dime. Not a penny to his name.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd wear some of the old golf shirts that he'd had for years, try to wash them up nice in his sink in his one-bedroom flat. The fact was, Mike was penniless. And he was hungry. He couldn't even afford to buy food. And he had stains of wine on his pants.
Wine.
Cheap wine.
Wine.
Not a dime. Thank you.
He's not fine.
Wow. Not fine at all.
Oh, man.
Oh, if only I had time to help him before he jumped out that window.
Let's go, let me see. You got something for Joe Ardinger, our phone screener?
Do I ever?
Joe.
Everybody knows Joe.
Long hair, illegal drugs, a carefree attitude. That's Joe. A man in pain.
Joe Ardinger's a man in pain?
Oh, don't you know that? Can't you look in his eyes? Can't you see his soul?
Oh.
What is wrong with you, Don? He's got a pain that comes from a man watching his life waste away. Slow Joe. The dummy.
Joe.
The retard. He's going to snap one day. Just up and explode. That's Joe. He's got nothing to lose. You know what he does in his spare time?
I know he gets high.
No, he does something more than that.
What's that?
He sharpens his pocket knife. The slow Joe, the dummy, the retard, has a fantasy. His fantasy is that he'll get that knife so damn sharp one day that it'll be sharp enough to cut all your heads clean off.
Joe.
That's what Joe wants to do. Come to your homes at night when you're sleeping, crawl into bed with you, and sever your heads.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
That would not be nice.
And it's an idea whose time has come. Joe wants to kill you right after he shoots marbles at your corpses.
Wow.
He wants to play. He wants to play with your blood. I'm sorry, somebody else likes to do that.
What about the guy right here in the next room?
You know, your
good friend Buzz Burbank?
All of you have stories to tell. Each and every one of you are interesting characters. You with your 9 families all across the country. Mm-hmm. Rob dying with his grapefruit-sized tumor. Mm-hmm. But Buzz Burbank probably has the most sinister story of all.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear about our friend Buzz.
Buzz Burbank. Old Buzz. The listener's friend. Mr. Cool. Mr. Tight Shirt. Mr. I Never Fart. What would all the people say if they knew the real story?
I think we're going to hear it now, Buzz.
Okay. This might be the worst story of all, as it sometimes is, with this particular thing.
I understand.
Sorry, Buzz.
I understand.
Don't be sorry.
Tell everyone.
You speak the truth, Morgan.
Speak the truth.
No one knew, because of his crystal, crispy, clean image, that Buzz played with his own number two. I know it sounds horrible. Buzz, he liked that sort of thing.
But this might be the one where Buzz really gets mad.
He went to all the websites, and he... and he liked friends who liked to do it, too. On any given weekend, he'd play with it, rub it, and dare I say, sometimes eat it. Oh. Yeah, before you shake Buzz's hands, you might want to look under those fingernails. Buzz has a hobby, and it ain't a clean one. That's right.
You brought it up. Can I play with yours?
Of course, if you have time.
Thank you. He's got a... Excuse me, Buzz really has a potty mouth.
That's right. Should have ended with that one,
but secret time.
There's Lisa and Charlie, isn't there?
Yeah,
yes,
we got
that's
them.
Right. Yeah. I can find both of them.
One more. Our producer, Charles Broyhill, and our former producer, and now our secretary, she's going to love that, Lily. And you know they're going to be married very soon.
Do I know that? I told you I've researched every one of you, and I know exactly what's going on.
Hey, Buzz,
yeah.
Wipe that ass-eating grin off your face.
Okay.
You brown noser.
Oh, yeah, Lisa and Charles.
Lisa and Charles.
Everybody loves Lisa and Charlie.
Save the date.
That's right. Oh, yeah, Lisa and Charles were lovers. Everybody knew that. But there was something they loved more than themselves.
What's that?
That was Satan. Every weekend, after soccer and flag football, Charlie and Lisa would chase down a stray cat, a dog, or they'd catch a squirrel or some small animal. They'd take it out to the woods behind their trailer, and they'd kill it. Kill it dead. If they had time, then they'd chant to Satan, satanic chants, dressed all in black, and they'd play with the blood, too. Yeah, those two were the personification of evil, and they were getting married. But there'd be two ceremonies, one for the public and one for the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer and Satan. Charlie and Lisa were Satan worshippers of the worst kind. Animal sacrifice was first. Human sacrifice would soon follow. Hide the kids. Lisa and Charlie are in town.
Will they have a child?
If they have a child, it will be like Rosemary's Baby. Son of Satan. The child will not be Broyhill's. The child will be the child of Satan. Evil, I know, but you all are, and I know your secrets. Just remember, Morgan's in town.
So we're going to play
Looking behind every rock.
Lobos Jeopardy here with the first couple callers.
I would love to.
At 877-365-3636. I take it back. We have a champion, a guy from Spokane, Washington, so we just need one challenger.
Can I tell you all something?
Yeah.
You may be successful people in the radio field, but you all stink like yesterday's garbage.
Especially me.
We'll be right back.
I'm sound and right.
With LBJ.
LBJ with MG.
MF.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
MG Morgan God.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
And this time, we're calling a pet store. And I'm going to disguise my voice and attempt to purchase 10 parakeets. Let's see what happens.
Hello, House of Pets.
Yes, do you sell parakeets, there?
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh, excuse me, how many do you have?
I think we have 7 or 8 at the present time.
Well, I'm going to, need 10.
Well, we have another store in the area, and I'm sure we could get 2 more from them.
I see, in other words, you'd have to go to another store then, huh?
Yes, we would.
Okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Hey,
the Don and Mike Show.
Adored by all their money fans, Don and Mike.
All right. Hi, Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm having a good time on your show. You've got a very good staff, a lot of people that I'm enjoying speaking with, except for Rob.
I just said your word. I'm doing fine.
Are you fine?
You know, you got a thing. I don't know if you've noticed this, the pronunciation of words with fine, wine, time, dime.
Don't blow my bit, please. For God's sake, that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
My God, man, don't do the ESP routine on me.
Let's get right to the game.
Fine.
Low budget Jeff Hardy. Here he is. God. Black God. Morgan Freeman.
Hello, this is God Almighty. This is low budget Jeff. Now entering the studio is an attorney from New Jersey. Let's say hi to Pat Heller.
There you go. Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hey, OQ. Hey, MF. I love your story.
Thank you very much. You're a fine man. And now entering the studio is our returning champion from Spokane, Washington.
How's it going, God?
A $45 winner. He's a cable channel producer. Let's say hi to Aaron Rollins.
Well, let me just say what a cherry gig that is. And Aaron, being our returning low-budget Jeff Hardy champion, how has it changed your life?
Oh, the fame and fortune is indescribable.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Please put your hands together and give a fine welcome to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, MF.
And thank you, Don.
Aaron and Pat, don't forget, answer the form of question. Blah, 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 blah. I'm tired of saying all this stuff. Here are your categories. They are Matrix Mania.
Oh, that's not a big movie.
Yeah, you beat that, didn't you?
Bruce Almighty kicked it into the ground.
Showbiz news.
Fine.
NBA playoffs.
I like that.
America, America.
America, America. God shed his grace on thee.
And new on Vivid home videos.
That'd be a DVD.
Yes, yeah, so you've got Matrix Mania, Showbiz news.
DVD.
NBA playoffs.
My God, one of you fart? I heard one of you fart.
On the telephone.
I swear to God I did.
Did one of you guys fart?
No.
I'm so old.
America, America, and new on Vivid and
DVD.
Pat, you are the challenger. We'll start with you.
Let's start with DVD home video for one.
All right, new on DVD stars Nicolas Cage.
What is...
Aaron, it's your chance to steal.
What is adaptation?
Right, $1. Adaptation. Just a brief note for me. Don't waste your money.
Okay. You're off and rolling, Aaron. Go
thanks
again.
Thanks for the hint there. We'll take a new on DVD for two.
Stars Patrick Stewart.
What is Star Trek Nemesis?
There you go.
And we'll finish out new on DVD.
Way to go, Aaron. You're flying.
Stars Jerry Seinfeld.
I don't know.
Oh. I wanted to ask Patton Oswalt about that, about what he thought of this movie, as a matter of fact.
Pat, your chance to steal.
What is the comedian?
Yes, judges say yes, there's no the, but we'll give it to you, comedian.
And just like that, a tie.
Let's go to showbiz news for one.
For one. This CBS show, last weekend, celebrated its 35th anniversary.
What is Hitler?
No, that's totally inappropriate.
I got some applause from Rob, though.
Aaron, your chance to steal.
I'm going to try. What is 60 Minutes?
Now, it's very important that you don't speak. Not a word. I just want you to listen. Understand? I've heard some rather disturbing news about you.
I'll tell you something.
Really?
Give these boys a chance to play their Hitler tapes and they'll go wild.
Rumor has it, I'm to be used as target practice. Really? Shut up!
Addy.
Aaron tried to answer that. What was the answer?
What was the answer?
My answer was, what is 60 minutes?
Yeah, there you go, 60 minutes.
What's the dollar value? I
Uno.
Lost track of time.
Uno.
$1.
Let's stick with entertainment news for two.
This CBS star signed a new deal that will pay him $1.8 million an episode next season.
Who is Kevin James?
That is incorrect. Pat, your chance to steal.
Who is Ray Romano?
Right, Ray Romano.
For you. You're taking the lead, Pat.
Let's finish out the category for three.
Eminem won't let this musical genius make a video parody of one of his songs.
Who is Weird Al Yankovic?
There you go.
$3 for you, Patrick. Select again.
Let us go for Matrix Mania for one.
Boo!
Matrix Mania.
I don't care for that film.
You beat it.
I beat a computer is what I beat.
He's Neo.
Who is Keanu Reeves?
Right.
$1 for you, Pat.
Let's go two.
He's Morpheus.
Who is Lawrence Fishburne?
Right.
$2 for Owl.
Let's finish it out for three.
She's Trinity.
I have no clue.
Damn it.
What's wrong?
I have a sty in my eye. Aaron, your chance to steal.
I don't know either.
Mr. Skinhatter topless. Carrie Ann Moss.
And Patrick, that means you are in control.
Let's go America, America for one.
All right, these are facts about America from a book called The Harper's Index that I subscribe to that gives me facts and new facts about the year 2002. For instance, in calendar year 2002, this American city had the most massage parlors listed in the Yellow Pages.
What is New York City?
No.
Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is Chicago?
Nope. Los Angeles.
Pat, we need you to select again.
Number for two, please.
In calendar year 2002, this American city had the most fines for littering.
What is New York City?
Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is Boston?
Nope. You got to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco.
A very clean city.
And I've always thought it's funny. We're heard in San Francisco on KYCY.
KY.
KY.
I understand your jokes. That's fine. That's about the bottom.
Yes, it is.
Pat, you're in control.
Let's finish it up to three.
Or as Buzz calls it, the lunch counter.
The lunch counter. There you go.
Let's eat.
Howdy-do.
Here you go. America for three. In calendar year 2002, this American city issued the most tickets for speeding.
What is Los Angeles?
Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is Chicago?
Negative. Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta, Georgia.
Hotlanta.
And Pat, you're still in control.
NBA playoffs for one.
All right, good choice because it's the last category on the big board. They beat the Sacramento Kings to get to the Western semifinals.
I have no clue.
Does not have a clue. Aaron, your chance to steal.
Who is Dallas?
Yeah, that's right. The Dallas Mavericks.
$1 for Aaron, who's mounting a comeback.
NBA Finals for two.
They beat the Lakers to get to the Western Finals that they just won against Dallas.
Who are San Antonio Spurs?
Right again.
$2 for you, Aaron. You're doing fine.
Finish it out on my monster comeback.
These are the two teams who played for the Eastern Championship.
Who are Detroit and New Jersey.
Right again. There
$3, and that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Hey, and how about that little Steve Kerr last night? Isn't he marvelous?
Marvelous.
He's marvelous, little Steve Kerr. I didn't even
Little Stephen Kerr.
I didn't know the guy was even playing basketball anymore. He comes off the bench in the fourth quarter, scores like 13 points, and San Antonio wins that game.
Well, isn't that just fine?
Morgan, God, who's got what?
We have Aaron with $10. Pat has $1 more with $11.
All right, guys. It's time for Final Low Budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet it all, and good luck. You know, we may have had this one on before. I'm not sure. I didn't do enough research. But anyway, category is American Idol. And here is your answer. It's the title of Paula Abdul's first number one hit record, circa 1989. The title,
what year?
1989. The title of Paula Abdul's first number one hit record. Guys, we need it in the form of a question and good luck.
Stop that whispering. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a commemorative Morgan Freeman pine. These seedlings look fine in your yard and they grow to be giants. So pick a good spot. My pines are fine because I fertilize them with lime. And in time, my pine will look sublime. And it won't cost you a dime. Just don't cut them down, because in my neighborhood, when you cut down a tree, that's a crime. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek.
You know what I like to eat right now?
What's that?
man, I'd love some pie.
Pie would be great. Oh, I'm not a big pie man. As a matter of fact, I'd rather drink turpentine.
And you'd cry.
I'd cry. A mild cry. Why?
Who do we want to go to here?
You want to go to low person, which is Aaron.
Aaron.
Got $10.
All right, Aaron.
It just hit me. Can I change my answer? Since I haven't heard the other?
Were you the one that was whispering, Aaron?
Whispering.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I play God. Now,
I even closed my door with the
For God's
disturb
sakes, sign. Don't lie.
You want to change your answer from the one that you gave to Joe?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I give it to Lisa, but...
Go ahead.
What is opposites attract? Either way.
That knocks you down to zero, Aaron.
Pat!
I had the same answer.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to give it to Pat, and here's why.
Why?
Because the other guy had the right answer and then wanted to change it.
Oh, my.
So...
Oh, thanks.
You know, hey, listen, it's my world, and you're just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
So he didn't have the correct answer, but you're going to give him the championship?
Yeah, the answer is...
For God's sakes, why?
Because the other guy had the right answer, and the rules are you're not allowed to change.
Right.
And I found it funny, Joe had on the screen, the guy had the right answer, mm-hmm. but he wanted to change it to the wrong answer.
So you let him.
So the guy who played the game square,
that
even though he
Pat.
Had the wrong answer...
Pat is our low-budget Jeopardy champion.
There you go. And the song, incidentally, was straight up. Thank you, Buzz.
Right.
Thank you. Have a nice number two. Pat, you are the winner. Aaron, don't screw with LQ. Don't change the rules. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Oh, and I said that the song was straight up. Come on, tell me that you love me. And now here is Morgan Freeman with your gifts. Morgan.
First of all, Aaron, you did have $45. You get to keep it. I think that's just fine. And you've also received three Denzel Washington DVDs. What are you trying to do to me here?
What do you mean?
Denzel's another actor. I don't want to talk about other actors, but I'll go along with it because I'm in time.
You got to read it.
Including Antoine Fisher, the year's most remarkable tale of courage and survival. Rent the video or own the DVD from the 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment Company. Rated PG-13. But wait, we've got more for Pat. You double your score to $22. We throw in a bonus for a total of $47. Thank you both. You both played fine.
Thank you.
And Aaron, I know he took it away from you, but don't cry.
Play by
the rules. You know, give it to the lawyer for getting the wrong answer, I tell
you. There you go.
Play by the rules, Aaron.
Don't be sour grapes.
That's why I asked.
Sour grapes never made anybody happy,
boys. All right, boys. Both of you, thank you. Get out of here. What can I say, Morgan? It's always great to have you on the show.
I'd like to tell everyone to lick it.
Always remember and never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Moran Incorporated and is distributed by King World. I had a great time. I always do.
So do we. And you know what the good news for you?
What's that?
The tape of the door is broken.
Will I be able to stay? Well,
yeah.
Very good.
Hang around.
Buzz a little. Buzz a little. Buzz a little.
I got it.
Fine.
Buzz.
I want to stay.
You got to go.
I want to stay for more time.
You got to go.
All right. I'll say bye.
Okay, bye.
Hello, Joe Ottinger.
Joe. It's time for the news now.
Oh, ho.
I told you that I got under his skin a little bit.
Yeah, well, no, he's fine.
Fine. Fine would be, It's time. Time for the Buzz News Show.
Here we go.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
Me.
He made it up.
I know the lead story.
What?
Patton Oswalt says Jack Diamond is a nice phony.
It's a good story, just not the lead story. Today, another handsome star from the past comes out of the closet.
Hey, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Was he just here?
No.
So it's not.
No,
kidding.
It's not that one.
Kidding, of course, not Patton Oswalt. But I know it's a guy who is a fag, and I bet in the back of your mind you've always thought it.
Really? Big star? That's a good hint.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, Jack Cassidy.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
professional.
Yeah. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
We did
did that on purpose.
Yes, of course.
Singular Wireless believes that your wireless phone plan should be the perfect fit for you. They want to match your lifestyle with the phone and the rate plan that fit you the best.
If you don't use Singular Wireless, you need to switch today. Here is why. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Geronimo.
Bye. Jack Diamond. Nice jerk.
What did he say?
Nice phony.
Singular is offering, hi Patton, 5,200 minutes for only $24.99 a month. It's 5,000 night and weekend minutes, 200 anytime minutes. I want to tell you.
That's wild.
Nationwide long distance is included.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details. Right here.
Whether you ask Joey Heatherton or Brooke Shields, they'll tell you, call Singular Wireless, 1-866-SINGULAR, or go to singular.com.
I want to tell you, thank you from everyone at Singular Wireless.
Let me say, Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What the f*** you think you're dealing with? Hold on, ask that again, Sam.
Who the f*** you think you're dealing with?
Bill O'Reilly?
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Thank you.
Time for another spoof. So here's Don and Mike.
Time for Buzz's News, yeah. Brought to you by Vermax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It is Dr. Developed.
Someone called for a doctor?
Clinically tested. Vermax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Vermax. 1-888-TRY. VMAX. And now here is Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Well, first it was Rock Hudson, heartthrob of the 60s, dashing Hollywood star who turned out to be gay. Now it's the handsome TV star of the 60s, the man who played Dr. Kildare, Richard Chamberlain.
Oh, okay.
Long suspected.
See, I mean, what did I say? Not really a surprise.
No, I wish it was more of a surprise.
Would you rather it be Dick Van Patten?
Yeah, well, that would be more exciting. And this is the theme to Dr. Kildare?
Yeah.
That is an old show.
Yeah, sure.
That's
is.
A show that that's older than I
quite remember. It, yeah.
For those of you who need a little primer in this, he was also in Shogun.
That's right.
Yeah. And anything else that would be noticeable?
Lots of gay pornos. Lots of Hollywood underground.
Oh, the Thornbirds.
Gay pornos. Yes.
Thornbirds.
He does a lot of guest work. Like, you would see him in the Cassidy role, on like Columbo's.
Yes.
And
yes,
stuff.
Listen, here's the demo you go to. You go to your mom,
right.
And you say to your mom, Dr. Kildare is gay.
Yeah.
And your mom's jaw will friggin' drop.
That's right.
But anybody that's watched him over the years, he, of course, was a very feminine man.
Knew he's a fancy lad.
Not that there's anything wrong with
but
it.
You know,
nothing at all.
Every once in a while, you still run into some old person who thinks, like, the whole Liberace thing was a joke.
Right.
You mean it was fake?
I think there are people who still don't think Rock Hudson was.
Or some other people.
You mean people that don't think he was gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Why?
Because they want to.
Why are you laughing?
Because they want to hold on to their past.
You're making me laugh. Why do you think? I mean, you'll run into people that think that it was.
I don't want to say.
I want to
names,
tell you,
but I know some.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When you say, yeah, but you know, Liberace was gay. They go, no, he wasn't.
Oh, all right.
Still to this day, they go, no, they want.
They want to believe.
Now hold on. What? How could I be wrong about Bill O'Reilly? What I want to see about Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. Phil.
Don.
Well, how could I possibly be wrong about Bill O'Reilly?
First, I want to know what your beef is. I never caught why you're angry at him in the first place.
I'm not angry at him.
So, what's your problem with him?
I don't have any problem with him. We goof on him. He's on our radio station here in D.C.
Oh, do you guys appreciate what he does for America?
God, yes. Each
absolutely.
And every day. Hold on.
This can't be real.
He's a phony.
Can't be real.
I am completely real.
No, he's a phony like Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh is a shill. Bill O'Reilly's not.
All right, Bill O'Reilly speaks the truth.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Do you appreciate what we do for America?
Absolutely, 100%.
Great.
All right, then as far as Bill O'Reilly is concerned, well, we don't.
Well, listen, hold on.
No, I'm just kidding.
Some words of wisdom, though.
Right.
Like, you know, Letterman did that Dr. Phil words of wisdom thing, mm-hmm. and we just blatantly ripped that off. But I think it gives you a pretty good insight into what Bill O'Reilly's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I goof around and call him a fake newsman because he used to be on on Inside Edition or something like that.
Yeah, but even he spoke about that. He didn't care about, you know, the Hollywood
listen, you want to know, here's Bill O'Reilly, for instance. One of the questions on his radio show was, what are you getting for Christmas?
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh, okay. Then,
oh, he said that?
Yeah, then someone asked him about raising his kids.
You go right ahead and make out in front of my three-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
Okay. Then, again, somebody else called him up and asked him, well, I heard you say this. What about the you put yourself out there as a model parent?
Look, I'm going to take drugs if I want to, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And if my little 10-year-old daughter's there when I'm high, I don't care.
Bill O'Reilly.
He's not saying that for him. He's saying that.
No. Bill O'Reilly's also given good advice.
Screw the establishment. Use drugs. Get a gun. Call women bitches, hoes. Disrespect everybody, and you'll still do okay.
See, and what about
you talking about the rap music? There.
What about Trixie?
You know, I'm going to sleep with Trixie tonight.
Yeah.
What about that? So how can we not like a guy like that? You're totally wrong thinking we don't like
and
him.
And furthermore, I think he might be a fag.
I wouldn't play with Beaver.
See? How can you possibly?
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
My butt.
So if he hasn't come out yet, I mean, that's great.
And
a man's personal life is his personal life.
Listen,
don't involve his personal life.
I'm just, and then what about the fact that he's, and listen, I don't mind telling you, I used to smoke pot, but listen to this. I think Bill O'Reilly still does. Listen to this. I smoke marijuana every other day.
Well, there you go.
Now,
what about that?
I think you're convincing me.
And we
there we go, good. That's
we
good.
Asked him about all of this one day on our show.
I'm sorry I raped that lady.
We were shocked.
That's what he said.
I'm a karma kind of guy. I'm an Eastern kind of guy, a wind chime kind of guy. That's me.
And then you would be right now in the spin zone, as Bill.
And we said, Bill, what are you sorry about?
I'm sorry I raped that lady.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, listen.
Fascinating man.
This whole phone call, you...
Shut up!
There you go. Jesus. All right. Bye-bye.
Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right. On NBC's Dateline, the now 68-year-old Richard Chamberlain said that a person announcing that they're gay or straight really tells you nothing at all about that person. And he said of his partner, Martin, he's more thankful for his love than anything else in his
Short.
Life.
Short. She.
Lawrence. Moll.
Ooh.
Landau.
Oh!
Did you have Moll?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, you're king of the Martins.
Yes, thank you.
King of the gay Martins.
Chamberlain's been with Martin for 26 years, and he's out with a new book, also called Shattered Love.
See, who's the movie guy? It's not Martin. What's the guy's name? You know the guy.
Leonard Maltin.
Right.
Get those M's working today for some reason.
I got some theories about that guy anyway.
Leonard Maltin.
Hey.
Welcome to Hot Ticket.
Family man. Good family man. Hey, Rob's a fan. Come on.
You're kidding me.
I love his reviews. I have all his books.
He's pretty smart. And he hosted the Little Rascals video series. So how can that be bad?
How do we know this much about this guy?
All I know.
What's going on?
My God, if you ever wake up in the middle of the night, it's one of those shows. It's like the Siskel and Ebert show.
Right, right.
But it's, and I know that...
only Pinker.
Gene Siskel is dead. But it's Leonard Maltin and a woman, and it's like Hot Ticket. And if you're ever up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock on a Saturday night, 3 a.m., that's when Channel 7 runs it.
Really?
Yes.
I'll try to get home sooner.
I want to tell you, Mike, it's wild.
Thank you. Right here. CBS.
You know what we're doing? We're doing
Bob Hope.
We're doing a Bob Hope.
Thing.
This is Bob's birthday yesterday.
Yeah. Wild.
We got screwed out of the Bob Hope is finally 100 and not dead show yesterday, incidentally.
We did.
Thank you, Donald Dumsfeld.
Bob didn't
we're going to do that show on Monday for you.
Bob didn't get screwed. Quoting Bob's son, Kelly, he can't believe he's made it to the big 100.
I want to tell you.
The former comedian passed the century mark yesterday, and the occasion was noted all over the world.
You might want to watch your wording on that when you say the former comedian passed.
Yeah, no.
I understand.
He used to be a comedian. Now he's
get it.
Retired.
No, the past the century.
Mike was making
past,
it funny.
Past the century mark.
It's okay.
He got thousands of letters and postcards and emails yesterday.
And there's the phlegm, Buzz.
What? Where?
Where I thought I heard.
No, I don't.
Robbie,
can
you rewind it?
You hear it. I didn't hear it.
If I'm wrong, I'll eat that phlegm. But hold on.
All right.
Number two.
Everything
hold
stops
on. I thought I heard.
Well,
Buzz, everything stopped for Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everything always stops for this on the show.
Mike was making it funny.
Past the century mark.
It's okay.
He got thousands of letters and postcards.
Oh!
And
right there, letters. Let's rewind that again.
Must be a glitch in the tape.
No, I believe that's Buzz's phlegm moment of the day.
At the century mark.
It's okay.
He got thousands of letters and postcards.
Sorry, Buzz.
Can't be real. You can doctor tape.
No, you're busted.
President Bush established the Bob Hope American Patriot Award yesterday. Queen Elizabeth sent a card. There were celebrations at his birthplace in England and his childhood home in Cleveland. His family gathered for cake after a meal of lamb, roasted potatoes, and lemon meringue pie.
And Bob went number two.
CBS wants to start charging...
All over. Everywhere. Leaking out of his big diaper.
Sorry, I missed that. CBS wants to start charging its affiliate TV stations to carry the March Madness basketball games. The network has an 11-year, $6 billion contract to carry the college playoff series, and now it wants a little something for the effort from its stations, $27 million to be exact.
Jeez.
CBS already charges its affiliates for NFL games, so the station shouldn't be too surprised.
So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. What they want is the affiliates to run all of CBS's network commercials.
That's right.
And then pay money on top of that.
On top of that. Yes, please.
Interesting.
If they don't mind too much. Network executives sprang the NCAA idea on their affiliate reps yesterday at a meeting in Las Vegas. The CEO of the company that owns CBS, Mel Karmazin, says the iNetwork may or may not go after the Olympics. Quoting him, CBS doesn't need the games as much as NBC.
Hey, all right.
What haven't we done for you?
Yeah.
This is CBS speaking. What haven't we done for you?
Great news if you liked Get Shorty. And I know you did, Don.
Oh, the movie? Yeah. Absolutely loved it.
Good movie.
How about I'll tell you, are you talking about Carrie Sisko?
No.
Okay, good. Because I'm totally derailing you here, Buzz. Sorry.
No, go.
Get Shorty was written by Elmore Leonard, who has written about 20 really, really great books. Mm-hmm. One of the books is Out of Sight, mm-hmm. that was turned into a movie with George Clooney and J-Lo. Mm-hmm. What ABC has done is, why would you stop with the jokes? Get Shorty, the story of Jay Stevens. Anyway.
Hi.
If you've seen the movie or read the book Out of Sight.
Where's May Cooper?
J-Lo's... To him, that's a limo, right?
It's a bus.
J-Lo's character is named Karen Sisko. Mm-hmm. Anyway, ABC has taken that character and turned that into a TV show.
Cool. Okay.
And, I don't think it's cool.
Oh,
I hate it. I've seen the ad. Well, don't be sorry. It's not your decision,
I'm
Buzz.
Just reacting for
it's
you.
Just, you know, it's. I'm looking at it going, there's some guy that's supposed to be Clooney. And this girl is supposed to be J-Lo,
right.
And it was a great movie and an even better book, and now they're just going to rape it by turning it into a stupid one-hour TV series.
Very rarely that a TV series comes out nearly as well as a feature, but sometimes it happens.
But just remember, they tried to turn Animal House into a TV show.
There are some examples. MASH would be an example of a TV show that did better than the movie.
But for every MASH, there's a My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Mm-hmm.
There are 20 My Big Fat Greek Weddings.
Oh, yeah.
Greek
Wedding. Anyway, what about Get Shorty, Buzz?
I think you'll like. John Travolta wants to return in another movie about Chili Palmer. It'll be based on the sequel to the first book by Elmore Leonard. The first book was Get Shorty. The sequel was and will be in movie form. Be Cool.
Right. I know. Be Cool is the one where he becomes a record producer.
Yeah, well, that's the one he wants to do next. The first movie was a big success for Travolta, and it grossed $72 million.
Put Dennis Farina in it. That's all I want to see. I want to see Dennis Farina in it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a fan of his as well. Yeah. I was watching something. Oh, an awful movie with Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
With Dennis Farina
the husband. Sorry.
Yeah right. The name of the movie is That Old Feeling, and it's just another one of the reasons. I know they're a sponsor, but I'm going to say it. You should not subscribe to Stars, because that's one of those movies that they go, this is a Stars exclusive.
Right.
Of course, it's exclusive on Stars.
Wasn't That Old Feeling?
Yeah.
And they're like divorcing parents.
They're divorced.
Mm. Right.
And she's like...
Now I know this.
She's a fat diva.
Right.
And he's a writer.
Right.
They're divorced, but they sneak together and...
He's a mafia guy, and that's what he ought to
that's
play.
That's where he belongs.
Amen. And Tardstar. Sorry, Buzz. I'm all over the place.
No, actually, it's quite all right. And while we're talking about Travolta, Grease is the word at Paramount Pictures. Even though Grease 2 was a failure with critics and audiences, the studio's moving ahead with Grease 3. This one will be set in the late 70s with plenty of disco music.
The story will revolve around the children of characters played by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, who starred in the first movie.
I think we have a clip of Grease.
Oh, good.
Grease?
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add. That was Grease 2, I think. Word is, they will be in the third movie, Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, even though the script has not been finished yet.
We got a break.
Let's do this.
When are we going to finish the script for our show today?
Yeah. This script has been thick.
Writers are working overtime.
Yeah. We need Pat to come back and punch it up.
Stand by. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Addy?
Is anyone listening?
Next to breast milk, the Don and Mike Show is best.
Hey, what happened?
Having another plug in here for our very good friend Patton Oswalt at the Improv here in D.C. all weekend. Tonight and tomorrow night. You can go to his website. I think he's going to have our picture up there sometime soon with him, PattonOswalt.com. And Patton's trip to hell today was sponsored by Ambassador Limousine. AmbassadorLimo.com, 888-220-7232.
Funny show at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night, right?
Yep, all with right. Patton Oswalt.
Thank you.
Now here's Buzz again.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the evil Disney empire run by Michael Eisner will be watching you with night vision goggles.
Where are my night vision goggles? Look at that, I see an antelope. Slaughter it and make it into my boots.
The company.
Eisner.
What's this?
I'm Eisner. Smith.
Smith. What do you want now, Smith?
We have a child who has injured himself on the Beauty and the Beast ride. There is open bleeding. There is possibly a broken bone. Family very, very upset. Need advice. Over.
All right, Smith, here's what I want you to do. Evacuate the child from the park. Give the parents 4 free tickets. And whatever you do, clean up the blood and open up the ride as soon as you possibly can. And get me Sabian.
Roger. Over.
Bye, Smith. Smith out is what you normally do.
Smith out. I'm still going on the Sabian thing, though.
I love Smith and Eisner.
When are we opening the Bad Program Director ride?
The Bad Program Director ride is scheduled for a release in September of this year.
Smith out.
Bye, Smith.
The company, the Disney company, is so determined to keep people from taking video cameras into advanced screenings of the cartoon Finding Nemo, it's setting up metal detectors and night vision goggles in the theaters.
Put it right next to Petey's of the Caribbean.
The movie debuts today, but Disney's not alone. 20th Century Fox has already done this with X2 and Down with Love. Video cameras that are caught will be confiscated. The movie industry says it loses maybe $3 billion a year to copyright pirates.
It's a small brain after all.
On
Smith out.
Smith out.
On top of Mount Everest, all covered with poop. This was actually...
you should like this story, Buzz.
I do.
It's almost dinner time.
Why it's here. This was actually the topic of Mount Everest and poop, actually the topic at an environmental symposium this week. How'd it get there? Well, the first woman to climb... Well, people who climb it.
And oh, really? And they just poo on it.
And then they don't take it with them. That's the complaint.
Well, some people like doing that and planting a flag up there.
Right.
And other people like to just...
plant something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first woman to climb that mountain said she calculates that about 2 million liters of human urine are now part of the ice on Everest.
Oh, my God.
Nice!
There are regulations about that, but not much enforcement. Climbers have to pay $4,000 for not bringing down their trash.
Hey, what happened?
But nobody seems to want to check the camping toilets they carry. A three-time climber says, because you don't eat much on the mountain, you don't go number two much either. Quoting him, I've only defecated twice there.
Guys, let me break in for a bulletin.
Yes?
It's time for perhaps what could be the jerk of the week.
Really? Oh, good. Right? Just in time.
Larry!
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm really upset at your slamming of Donald Rumsfeld. That really pisses me off.
Is this the burping guy?
I know the voice.
You know, you suck.
Hi, burping guy.
Yeah, nice. I have laryngitis, and I thought maybe I...
Hey, way to go, Don. I didn't recognize him. We got...
Hi, burping guy.
And I was going to say, where's your Charlie Boy Hill as a primate detector now?
Aren't you going to burp?
Yeah, no.
No. I'm going to hold it in till maybe someday.
You know, I was listening to that show yesterday and praying that you were going to call and get through.
I couldn't find that show in New York to save my bowel movement.
I think it was on Wins.
Well, I checked everything. I read that the guy showed up like 5 hours late and took 2 phone calls. So while I was scanning around, I probably heard whoever the host was, you know, stalling for time.
Well, keep them coming. All right, Burping Guy.
Yeah, I will. That is the life of the Burping Guy.
Don't be depressed.
Burping Guy.
I'll be fine.
Bye, Burping Guy.
Bye. 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 Yeah.
Thank you.
That's right.
Payoff. Didn't know. I swear to God, I didn't know. All it said on the screen was, slamming Rumsfeld is un-American.
It's an interesting mind there.
Yeah, it sure is.
A beautiful mind. ABM.
Absolutely.
If President Bush was mad at France about the whole Iraq thing,
Bush,
he seems to have mellowed about it now. And the president used the words, not mad, to describe his feelings for France as he set off for a tour of Europe.
Probably without the I'm, though.
Yeah. I'm not mad.
No, just not mad.
Not mad. Not mad no more.
That comment was also directed at other European countries that were less than supportive of the U.S. campaign to oust Saddam Hussein.
Hungry.
But, quoting the president...
The country, or is that how you feel, Mr. President?
Hungry, need food.
Ah.
Call Smith.
Not mad.
Eisner. But, quoting the president...
Mr. Bush.
Yes, Smith.
Get me Sapien.
Quoting the president, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, and the American people are disappointed, but now is the time to move forward.
Would you like your freedom fries, sir?
Freedom fries right now. Hungry, need food, not mad.
Smith out.
Bye, Smith.
The president says he intends to remind European leaders they can accomplish more together than they can through arguing.
Need friends.
European.
J-Lo has just...
European. Get it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm Mount Everest.
Sophisticated jokes. Hey, Patton, I hope you're still listening.
You can use that if you want.
I'm punching up the show right now. European.
J-Lo has just fired...
Y-O-U-R-E...
Yeah.
Okay. European.
Gotcha.
J-Lo's just fired her publicist. MSNBC says it's because the publicist was trying to get Lopez to be less of a diva. Quoting a source, he's been warning her about public backlash and trying to be a voice of reason, but Jennifer doesn't want anyone telling her to dial it back. When J-Lo appeared briefly at a 9/11 benefit, she demanded a 45-foot trailer equipped with makeup and hairdressing studios.
Is that so wrong?
A white dressing room with a white couch, white curtains, white table, white candles, and some white roses.
Is that so wrong?
She had a long list of foods she wanted there. She even specified the temperature of the trailer, all of this for a 90-minute taping.
Wow. Is that so wrong?
That's part of it. Apparently so.
It's very, very fair, I think.
I agree.
Now, you know who's a bitch is that... One-faced bitch Mariah Carey.
Tommy, she was on the Today Show today.
I saw her this morning.
Today Show concert series.
You know, it shows how far down Mariah Carey's star has fallen.
Yeah, very strange thing. Kind of a strange performance.
Yeah, and the thing that I still can't get over with Mariah Carey.
You find her to be very interestingly mic'd today?
Yeah.
A little weird.
Also, she talks like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There you are. How you doing?
Photograph me from the right side.
Did you notice when she spoke, there was a very different sound to her voice than when she sang?
Yeah.
The same microphone?
Yeah, very interesting.
Odd.
Yeah, a little weird.
But still, man, what a body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killer body on Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Ann Curry.
Entertainer Bob Hope turns one.
Ann Curry's got the body of Sean Bradley from the Dallas Mavericks.
And is that so wrong?
I guess what you mean. If I was going to be more, if I was going to be really correct with the she has the body of Yao Ming.
In sports, Washington Wizards owner Abe Pollin has written a letter to season ticket holders telling them that if they are not satisfied with the franchise's direction after this summer, he will refund their deposit in full. Poland shifted the franchise's direction today by firing head coach Doug Collins, who'd been on the job for 2 years. Ex-con boxer Mike Tyson is so angry with the woman who accused him of rape, quote,
oh.
Now I really do want to rape her.
Oh, you know, this,
my God.
This was on Fox last night. I had it in my show notes, and we were so jammed up.
Yeah.
Greta Van TMJ had him on, and... He really said on more than one occasion. It's not like
more than once.
It's not like one of those things where he said it once and they played it over and over again. He said, "I want to rape her. I want to rape her." guy is just friggin' nuts.
I think that is going to be really, at some point, that will be the very tragic ending.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to, he's going to do something, man.
Certainly sounds like it.
You know, I TiVo'd it, and I had it in my notes. We didn't get to it today. My theory is he's doing everything he can to sell tickets now.
Mm,
I mean, because who will go see him?
Do you think he's trying to just drum up the publicity for this?
Yeah, that he's crazy.
Mm, that must be it.
He's got such a bad PR already.
Yeah, he can do no wrong.
Right. I mean, who's going to think any less of Mike Tyson because he said that?
Yeah, you're right.
You're just going to go, wow, he's really crazy.
That's crazy Mike.
Maybe I'll spend $50 to watch him fight his next fight.
But do you believe he really is crazy? Or do you think he's crazy like a fox?
I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. More but I know he does
something crazy in the ring.
He doesn't like showering, though.
I don't shower much.
Why is that?
There's things you see guys.
Like what?
One of those guys wrecked them.
What? Finally, in West Virginia yesterday, Frank Brown married his sweetie, Missy Kasdorf. They got married in a strip club. They didn't meet there, and neither one of them works there.
Maybe that'll work for me.
They just couldn't find a place for their spur-of-the-moment wedding, so they chose the strip club where the bride's mother works. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No! Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday with a new episode.
All right.
Have a great weekend, though. Kill yourselves, don't hurt yourselves. Love you free to love you, Bart. Good day to you, sir.
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 Okay, Rusty.
Hey, I want to tell you.
BM Eaterton.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.